B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show. Tell your friends and neighbors we're on radio. Radio only. Phillies are on NBC Sports Philly today. We'll continue to update you on the game. And if you're listening to us right now, I'll give you the update because Yan Gomes just hit a home run at the top of the seventh. And the Washington Nationals lead 2-1. Zach Wheeler is still on the mound for the Phillies. So not good if they drop this game, this game one with Wheeler going. It's just a discussion with some people about the optimism about the Phillies getting in the playoffs, and I got to be honest with you, I'm dead with the Phillies, and I don't want to be dead. I really don't want to be dead. I want to be alive. There's something about this team that rubs me the wrong way. I don't know what it is because they still are kind of within striking distance. They're four games out now. They're gonna be four and a half after they lose this game. What is it about this team that I can't get on board with? These are my problems. These are not your problems, folks. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. And sometimes I need therapy. And so I throw it out there for people. What is it about this team that doesn't connect with me? Connor Thomas, you have any idea? You're a big Phillies guy. People are like, they love, like they're looking at the Phillies for the first time in a really long time. This team somehow brings optimism to most of the fan base.
Yeah,
they won't. The fan base won't die here with this team.
I was just talking with Andrew Sauchunas about this.
Yeah, you guys are kind of similar, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm actually against him in this one.
He's like Philly'd up.
He's got the whole Sauchunas train rolling and everything.
Yeah, I don't get it. They're not good enough to have a train. They could win a division, not good enough to have a train.
No, to me, it's just there's not that many guys on the team that are that likable.
It's probably something to do with that. I don't know. Our baseball team's usually likable anyway.
I think
they're good. When they're good, they're likable. When they're mediocre, when they're just slogging from day to day, they're so inconsistent. They don't have any kind of connection at all to winning a lot of games in a row. And that's the sign of a good team when you have enough confidence that you're going to win three in a row, four in a row, five in a row, maybe.
Yeah,
this team doesn't have that.
Right. When you're losing like every other day, that makes it hard. Even though they're still at 500, they're kind of on projection.
Why is it in general that I don't like this team? Because normally I would say you get into playoffs and anything can happen. I don't feel that way with this team at all. Like, I don't feel like that they deserve to be in the playoffs. I guess that's what it is. They don't deserve to be in the playoffs, even though they can win a half-assed division. They don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
Well, they don't play smart baseball. They don't play baseball the way it's meant to be played. Like, they don't play good defense. They don't have great bullpen pitching or back-end pitching or a closer. Mm-hmm. The manager has had his head in the clouds too many times this year. It just fundamentally, they don't have they don't pass the eye test of a good baseball team, even though the record might say they're mm-hmm. closer.
All right. Well, anyway, we can talk about that. But tonight is a big night because it's NBA draft night. And there are a lot of people think that something's going to happen with the Sixers tonight with Ben Simmons. I don't feel it. I think they need a little more time to ferret out a better deal. This is really going to drag on. So just because they acquired another second round pick, I don't think that is any kind of an indication that they're building up some collateral to make the move with Ben Simmons tonight. I would be shocked beyond belief if they made a deal to move Ben Simmons tonight. But I do believe that will be made. It's just going to have to take some time. I mean, the guys, the Olympics guys have to get home. And, you know, you're going to, they put out a really high price that nobody's going to meet right now. But as the off season goes along, you know, the people will whittle that down and they'll be able to make a decent deal. Because here's the thing about Ben Simmons. The longer this goes on, the more intrigue he actually brings to somebody. Like, the longer it goes on that we forget about the playoffs, the more people are inclined to think, well, maybe we can, you know, we can break them through, you know? And that's what the Sixers have to count on. So I don't believe anything's going to happen tonight. Like, I don't even know why Sixer fans, there would be a reason to watch the draft tonight. But if you look at some mock projections, and I'm going to go into some, I found this really hard to believe. The Sixers are drafting 28th. Now, a lot of people like the late first round picks or early second. You can get a gem. So I said, let me see if the Sixers have ever been able to get a gem in the last 20 years picking 28 or above. And I only found one player that actually really contributed to the Sixers. One player picked up past 28 that contributed. So the odds aren't very good. Now, I'm going to look at Daryl Morey's record to see if Daryl Morey's been able to get a gem when he was the general manager of the Houston Rockets. So the Sixers organization doesn't have anything to do with what Daryl Morey's going to do. So that's maybe a more accurate reading. But I want to go down those drafts and explain tell you who these people are, because they've had a lot of second-round picks. People seem to love the second-round picks. I guess they love them because they think they're going to uncover a gem, because there's always one guy that pops out of the blue to do it. But for the most part, second-round picks are nothing more than you bunch them together and you try to move up a couple notches in the first round, basically, is all a second-round pick really does. So if you're looking at the mock drafts for the Sixers, and you have to stay up pretty late, the Sixers will draft their number 28 pick. And I actually do like the guy if he's there, but it looks like the Nets, according to this draft, are going to take him before the Sixers pick at 28. I like Quentin Grimes. I think he's a nice size two guard. So I would be okay with that. But then, you know, you got another two guard. Isaiah Joe was supposed to be that type of guy. So you bring another guy in. But at that point, I think he would maybe the best player they could take. But the Sixers, according to this mock draft, Nets are taking Quentin Grimes. So it's at 28, the Sixers taking JT Thor, who's a power forward from Auburn. He came out early, freshman year, after his freshman year, was not that great at freshman year. So he would every bit be a project.
Great name on the kid.
It is a great name. So, like, what are you feeling about this this 28th pick tonight, Connor?
I'd be surprised.
You on board?
I'd be surprised if they took it. I'd imagine they're going to move it and try and get more draft capital in later years.
You don't expect that they'll draft at all.
No,
they'll trade out of this for what? A couple more second rounders?
Like, push it off till next year.
Uh-huh.
And try and get more picks to make a more attractive package in a Ben Simmons eventual trade. But I'm in your camp. I don't think the Ben Simmons deal happens tonight. I don't think the market for him is shaken out enough to this point.
Yeah. All right. So if you can figure out who the one player that was productive off the top of your head now, don't do research here to come up with who it is. The Sixers have had one player, actually one and a half, it's a half a player while he was here. But basically one player in the last 20 years that they've taken beyond the 28th or higher pick in this draft, or lower pick, I mean, as the case may be. High is it higher or low?
Higher
in number, 28.
Lower in value, higher.
Right. And we'll talk about it, and we'll go over the drafting record. And again, we're only on radio today. The Phillies are on television, and they are trailing 3-1 now. They give up another run in the top of the seventh inning. So I guess it's that. Who's that? Get closing. Finnegan? Finnegan is in the close for Washington. He's got one out. We'll update you on all of that stuff. And, of course, there'll be a gap between games, so we'll get a chance to talk to everybody about what's up in their world and why this Phillies team is not connecting with me. Why do you think it is with me? Not with you, because it could connect with you. And if it does, tell me why it does. 610-632-3776. 0975 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
Okay, it's 2:17 on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. Only in radio today. Just tweeted it out, so check your Twitter. Phillies lose first game of doubleheader, 3-1. The Wheeler loses. Not good. Wheeler, Scherzer outduels him today. So that game, yes, it's a shame that they had to go against Scherzer today, but. You know, Washington Nationals ready to trade everybody, and they win a game today. So they're going, well, put those trades on hold for a second. If they lose a doubleheader, I think we can play taps.
Yeah,
we can say sayonara tomorrow if they lose the doubleheader at home.
I might be with you. Especially Wheeler first game.
That's, yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is this team that misses with me, but it does. And so they lose this game here. All right, the 2 o'clock hour with Mike Missinelli Show. It's brought to you by Ferguson HVAC. Lyon Conklin Tension HVAC Contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. This is one of Ferguson's counter locations, Mount Salem, Camp Prussia, Pensauken, or Westchester. It's our Twitter poll. Connor Thomas with the Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for new outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons is a great place to get it. They have it all. They're in Doylestown, PA. Good old-fashioned customer service, and you can order right online at paulbmoyer.com. All right, Connor, what do you have today?
Thanks, Mike. Our Twitter poll today, found as always at 975 The Fanatic on Twitter. Simple one to help you out. Do you find this Phillies team likable? Out of the gates, no. 85% of the vote. Yes, take
85% say no, they're not likable.
So someone should be able to help you explaining.
They should. You should be able to help explain why they're not likable. I can't get a hold on why they're not likable. For me, it's like they're not likable because they don't play the game with any consistency. And I hate teams like that. I hate teams that burden themselves with nonsense, with a base running error or a defensive or not hitting with runners in scoring position, which they do all the time. And yet people, the other side of it says, well, they're still in, Mike. But I look at all these flaws and I hate the way this team plays baseball.
Yeah.
I really do. I can't get with them.
I couldn't agree with you more. And to me, it's the defense and like the base running, the simple stuff that you should be able to do at the major league level. It just, every other day, it seems like this team falls apart mentally doing that. And that drives me nuts.
I don't know, man. Anyway, let's get to the draft for tonight. And we'll get to the phone, 610-632-0975. All right. The only guy, I'm going to reveal it, the only Sixer draft pick that has been taken above 28 in number, that has been a contributor, a reasonable contributor, has been Lou Williams. You have to go back to 2005 is when they took him. 2005, they took him with the 45th pick. Second round pick, 45th overall. Lou Williams is the only guy, except if you're going to include Jeremy Grant, who really did not contribute much here, but contributed to another team. And those are the only guys. I had 1.5. And let's just do some checks and balances here. Because last year, and it's too early to tell also, Theo Maledon they took, right? Now, did they move him to Oklahoma City?
Yeah, he's no longer.
All right, he was picked 34th. Tyler Bay went to Dallas in the second round. So they kept Isaiah Joe, 49, and Paul Reed at 58. So both those guys, yeah, hang on, because they, you know, they could be contributors, both of them, actually. All right, the year before, pick 33, they took Carson Edwards, they moved him to Boston in that trade. Bruno Fernando, they moved to Atlanta in a trade. Admiral Schofield, they moved to Washington in a trade. And they took Mariel Shayok with the 54th pick. No go on Mariel.
Nope.
Let's go to 2018. They took Kyrie Thomas, moved him to Detroit. Isaac Bonga, moved him to the Lakers. Ray Spalding, moved him to Dallas. And Costas Antetokounmpo, Giannis's brother, they moved him to Dallas. So they got nothing out of that. Those four second-round picks that they had. Okay, let's go to 2017. 2017, the 36th pick, second-round pick. Jonah Bolden stinks. Juwan Evans, Sterling Brown went to other teams. Matthias Lesor, the French kid, never did anything. And then we go to, well, 2016. Furkan was the 26th pick in draft. So I'm telling you, 28 and above now is what I'm looking at, okay? So don't give me Furkan. He's 26. And TLC was 24. In 2015, Willie Hernan Gomez wound up with the Knicks. Rashawn Holmes, 37th pick. Arturas Gudaitis wound up with Sacramento. J.P. Tecoto, the kid from North Carolina, did not make it. And Luka Mitrovic, who wound up with Sacramento. That's a whole lot of nothing. And that's what I'm talking about. These second-round picks are far and few between that any of them make any kind of difference. All right, in the year 14, I remember people raving about that, how they got these second-round picks. Remember this? K.J. McDaniels they took with the 32nd pick.
People love
stinks.
K.J.
Jeremy Grant with the 39th. Really didn't do anything here. Was that a fish out of water, really, learning how to play. Russ Smith, the little guard from Louisville, remember him? Oh, what a steal. They got Russ Smith to the second round of the 42nd pick. Nope.
Nothing.
Vasily Micic from overseas and Nemanja Dangubic.
Oh, yeah, Dangubic. He was a good player in the league for a couple.
Dangubic?
No.
No,
he wasn't.
No, all right, so 23rd, let's go to 2013. Glenn Rice Jr., 35th pick, nothing. Pierre Jackson, guard from Baylor, nothing. 2012, Justin Hamilton from LSU, they moved him. And Torniki Shingilia with the 54th pick.
Got some good names in the late second round.
God.
That's about it.
All right, here's a half a contributor. We finally got the one. I forgot about him. Temple University's own LaVoy Allen with the 50th pick.
All right.
Minor contribution 1 year.
He played.
Yeah, he did. He got
some
time.
A lot of these guys.
All right, so only one pick in 2010, 29, 28. Let's go to 27. See, do take these foreigners. None of them come out any good. Petteri Kopanen and Krylo Fisenko.
Who?
Second round picks. Oh, my God. You're killing me here. Now they get to Lou Williams in 2005. And they only had one pick in 2003, number 50. Pacelis Morlende, a foreigner, they talked, didn't do anything. And then in 2002, Sam Clancy, 45th pick. She got out of him. At 2001, Damone Brown from Syracuse, Alvin Jones from Georgia Tech, Ugats. And then finally in 2000, Mark Karcher from Temple University did not stick. And that's it, my friend. So if we're looking optimistically about a guy you can get here and they got another second-round pick for cash, the chances are you're not going to get anything here.
Nah, man. That was the Euro segment there. You're a Euros guy, you're salivating.
Because there is this notion that, boy, you can really score with if you have an eye for drafting. But rarely do these second-round picks amount to anything.
Yeah. No, you're spot on.
All right. Here's how you get. I'm painting a pessimistic picture, obviously. Daryl Morey's maybe a little different. And we'll get to Daryl Morey's drafts in a couple seconds. Let's go to Chad in Northeast Philly. Chad, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Chad.
Hey, Mike, wow, that was quite a list. How far do you have to go back, though, to get to, like, when they pick guys like Danny Vrains in the second round? Remember?
No, they didn't pick him in the second round. They got him in a trade.
Yeah.
They got him in a trade. I'm looking beyond 2000, and I find Todd McCulloch at 47.
Yeah. No, I remember. I'm 47, yeah. So that's my frame of reference. I asked my dad to get me a Danny Vrains jersey.
Danny Vrains, they got in a trade, brother.
Yeah.
They didn't draft him.
This team has a tremendous history with trades in the draft. But I got to ask you a couple food questions, if I may.
Sure.
But here in general, I mean, this is a great time right now. You got the baseball trade deadline, the NBA draft, NHL free agency, converging with the Summer Olympics. I mean, when does this ever happen?
Yeah. Are we watching the Summer Olympics? Is anybody watching them?
Well, that's part of why I called you, because you have been talking about it off and on with Connor all week.
Mm-hmm.
Are you engaged? I mean, tomorrow the baseball finally starts, so maybe you sort of have interest in that. It's a revitalized Olympic sport.
I really don't. And here's why. Because even with baseball, I go, that's a cheaper product. It's like would I be interested in a minor league game against the Phillies? When I had the Phillies here, would I be interested in inferior baseball?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any interest in it.
Guys like you and Anthony can recall from your sports writing days how big boxing was. You don't even hear
you're absolutely right about that. You're right about
what
that.
What happened to boxing?
Well, I think the UFC happened to boxing.
Uh-huh. Is it even in the Olympics this year?
You know, I don't even know. It has to be, right?
I don't know. I haven't heard one thing. Yet we have skateboarding and 3-on-3 basketball. And how about this? Surfing.
Yeah, I just saw target shooting. I was watching target shooting, arrow shooting. Archery. Do we have boxing in it?
Boxing's in it.
We just haven't had any hype about the American team. Remember we used to have hype? Leon Spinks, Michael Spinks, Sugar Ray Leonard, all those guys were Olympians.
All right, so yesterday, or it was Tuesday, you were talking about Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah.
I think he's tremendous. He has a fantastic routine and material. I wanted to ask you, do you remember his role in the movie The Irishman? He was in that film.
Yes. Yeah, he was. I remember. He actually was pretty good in it.
Yeah, so I didn't. I might have been tuning out.
Yeah, well, I forget what character he played. But
I think he played a limo driver, but he was in the film. Uh-huh. And, he's great. I can't wait for that in November. And also, Nikki Glaser, when are you going to have her back on the air?
We had her recently. We just had her. You missed her. She's coming. She's coming this
week. Okay.
No, we had her about 3 weeks ago. She's coming to Atlantic City, and also she'll be at the Parks in Bensalem in December.
Right. I can remember a few months ago listening to your interview with her. She is terrific.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Now, food questions. All right. I'm a Jewish guy. This is no more fundamental person to ask than you. What is the difference between a stromboli and a calzone? To me, they're all the same, like George and Seinfeld. You had to get Mr. Steinbrenner, the calzone.
You know, is there a difference? That is a really good question.
I honestly don't know. To me, it's all the same.
Yeah.
You got to help me out here.
Yeah, I'm going to try to help you out. I'm going to try to help you out because there is a slight difference. Okay, here it is. I believe this is it. A stromboli is rolled in a spiral, and a calzone is folded in half.
Okay.
I believe that's it.
And did George Ed Newman pick up the calzone?
The calzone, I know. It looks like one and the same to me.
I've always thought that, too. And then,
yeah.
Where do you stand? Are you thumbs up or thumbs down on the fast food conversation from Monday? Boston Market. It's a little more upscale, but
Boston Market. Boston Market is, I don't know. I don't even know if it's rated anymore. They've closed so many of these. Are they still viable?
I haven't had it consistently.
I always thought Boston Market hit the spot when they first opened up. I thought it was really unique.
Yeah, I would go underrated
on Boston Market.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. They got some great sides.
Yeah,
get the chicken and the turkey.
Uh-huh.
It's very good.
The Boston Market now comes into your door with like all these internet Freshlies and then this, these dinners that come your way.
Boston Market's in on that now?
They're like the Boston Market of the internet, these places.
I gotcha.
You know, they give you the ready-made dinners and the... I don't roll with those. Oh, Maniscalco played Crazy Joe Gallo?
Yeah.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good role for him.
Yeah, he's got some skill. He's a talented man.
Calzone versus Stromboli. The major difference between Calzone and Stromboli, how they're sealed. Yeah, there you go. Burritos and Stromboli, they're rolled. So you put the stuff in, you roll it. Calzone is just crimped in half. Like a big half a saucer.
Right. You got the semicircle and you fold it together.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
And I don't think the filling could be the same.
Same ingredients, I think so.
But see, I grew
vehicle.
Up. My family, my aunts and stuff made calzones and they pronounced it calzone. Calzone, they pronounced it. But it always had egg in it. It was like egg and sausage.
So like a breakfast calzone.
Yeah, but it was like, you could lay it out and you keep it out for a long time. I never ate it because it was eggy. But the calzone or calzones, they would have egg in it and minced up sausage and stuff.
Doesn't sound awful. I'm not a big eggs guy, but it sounds like a good breakfast meal.
I can't get it.
What kind of egg? Would they scramble it or...
It's kind of scrambled eggs in there.
Yeah, I could go for that.
All right, hold on a second here. Calzone. A calzone is one layer, and it's filled with ricotta, mozzarella, and Italian meats. I've had that, but I've also had Stromboli with that in it. Stromboli is an Italian pinwheel. It's rolled with cold cuts, various vegetables, and marinara sauce. So apparently the calzone doesn't have the marinara sauce.
I feel like I've had a calzone with marinara in it, though.
You had?
I feel like there's sauce in a calzone.
Well, let's see. There's a calzone. I'm going to say, I think it's supposed to be filled with ricotta, mozzarella, and Italian meats.
So you're just going cheeses, no sauce.
Cheeses and meats in the calzone. There's supposed to not be any sauce.
Okay. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Right? And you can put veggies in it, like broccoli and spinach are popular. Fillings. Yeah, no sauce.
Okay, that's another big difference. So we're going no sauce in the way that it's folded are the big two differences. Learned something new.
I learned something new about this too because I didn't know that calzone translates to pants legs.
What?
It means pants legs. And it refers to the idea that calzone is a form of pizza that a customer can get while walking around and eat without utensils. Pants legs, so you're walking with it.
Yeah, so that's a connection. that's creative.
There's a lot of things I don't know about my heritage. Let's go to Mike and Del Ram. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
What's going on, Mike?
How you doing?
Hey, what does it say about my sports world when we got the Major League Baseball trade deadline, the draft, training camp for football, and we're talking about the difference between Stromboli's and Calzones?
Well, it tells you that it's a vacant part of the year. But as far as Philadelphia, because you're right. There are some things that are exciting, but not as it involves these teams.
Mike, as you read all those names, all I could think about were those were guys that were picked during the process, and they couldn't even get on the court.
Well, even before the process. I mean, listen, from Lou Williams, 2005, all the way to the process, man, there's a lot of mutts.
I thought I heard hockey players. In some of them. Hey, I just had a question for you, Mike, because you were out, and I'm curious about, like, now that college athletes, right, can get their, you know, the image and likeness, you know, get money. You see guys getting money already to have even started games.
Mm-hmm.
For basketball, do you think that might be, obviously not now, but in a few years, for guys to maybe stay in college that extra year or not go to the G League? Because, like, the one guy, I forget his name, he's, like, projected to go 2 or 3 tonight, played the G League, and I'll be honest with you, I've never seen a G League game. And, you know, I'm a huge NBA draft fan. Even when I was a kid, I'd order a pizza before the internet. I'd write names down, right? I used to love it. But I don't know. I know COVID had a big part of it, but I don't know who these kids are anymore. And I know it was always the one and done, and you got used to that. But then you got guys going to the G League and stuff like that. Do you think now that guys can make some money before they get in the league that they may stay that extra year for the publicity for their draft picks? Or do you think guys are going to bail one and done?
No, I don't think they'll make them stay because you look at it. You know, they make themselves more marketable by going to the NBA.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like those guys that are like maybe in the top.
Well, but those guys aren't going to be the stars of the NBA anyway. You talk about middling guys that are just stay for 4 years. Those guys aren't going to be NBA stars.
Yeah, I'm talking about like the picks 20 through 30. Like if maybe an extra year in college would get them up into the tens, right? Just to
they would stay anyway, though, wouldn't they? The guys that are in the 20s stay anyway.
If you're a freshman and you're told that you're probably going to get picked somewhere between 30 and 40, but you can go make $100,000 somehow, sign autographs, and stay in college a year, why not?
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying to you is they do that anyway. If you're a kid that's told you can only go in the second round, you're not going into the NBA draft. You're going to stay in college anyway.
Yeah, that may be true. I just don't want to hear any hockey names tonight, Mike. Go Birds.
All right, man. You got it. Hockey names. What do they have? They have 2 second-round picks?
They got 50 and 53.
And 28. I mean, listen, yeah. they can, that's a, what would they have to do? They'd have to act on them tonight, right? So, like, it's interesting, they could, because on one hand, you could use those picks as part of a package for Ben, but if you're not going to trade for Ben, then what do you do with the picks then now?
So what you could do...
We can't put him on any of the ice box.
Well, you could potentially look at a team that wants somebody now. Like, let's say somebody wants to trade up from, like, 35 to 28 this year. And they'll give you, like, 2 picks next year right around 28. So you could just push it down the road a little bit, kick the can, and turn that into slightly more draft capital in a later year.
Yeah.
And then you could move that later this offseason. So, like, turn 28 into, I don't know, 30 and 34 next year, hypothetically. And then use those... You got 2 more picks that may be more attractive in total.
Okay. All right. Then we got a break coming up, and we have some open lines for obvious reasons. 610-632-0975. But now I have Daryl Morey's draft, because this is really the only fair way to do it. You see, with Morey, whether he's uncovered some gems, picking above 28 or above into the 30s or 40s or 50s. So he was with the Rockets in 2007. To 2020. All right, so they didn't have first round, they didn't have picks at all in 2020, 2019 draft. So in 2018, they took DeAnthony Melton with the 46th pick. What's DeAnthony Melton doing right now?
Nothing really. He's an all right college player, league? But I think he's
DeAnthony Melton
somewhere.
Is in the league. Yes, he is in the league.
He's not playing.
Not for Houston. So they traded him right away to Phoenix. So he never played for Houston. All right, let's go now to next year, 2017. Isaiah Hartenstein. What's Isaiah doing? Pick 43 in the draft. Isaiah Hartenstein is in the league. He is still with the Rockets, I believe. Okay, yes. No. I'm sorry. He's with Cleveland now. So he didn't do anything for the Rockets. Okay, let's go to Dylan Brooks from Oregon was the selection, picked 45th. They traded him right away to Memphis, so he never played for them. Okay, let's go to 2016. Chinayu Onwuaku from Louisville. Nope, he only played 6 games for them. Zhao Ji from China. That didn't work out either. Next year, 2015. Oh, here's one. 2015, the 32nd pick, he took Montrezl Harrell.
There you go. Sixth man of the year with the Clippers a couple years back.
Yeah, but what did he do with Houston? Did he do anything with Houston? He contributed. Yeah, he had a couple, one decent year. Yeah, he played 2 years with the Rockets. All right, so I'll give that's one. That's one score. For him. Let's go to 2014. Nick Johnson from Arizona. That didn't work out. Isaiah Cannon in 2013.
Oh, process legend.
Cannonball.
Love it.
Went, how long did he stay with the Rockets? He did anything that I played, let's see, 2 years. Played 2 years with the Rockets. Averaged 9.2 points in 47 games the second year with him. No, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Maybe a quarter there?
All right, so cannonball.
One quarter.
That's nothing after that. Let's go to... here's a good one. This is probably his best. So he's got two hits. Chandler Parsons he took with the 38th pick out of Florida in 2011.
Yeah, Chandler Parsons bounced.
Chandler Parsons was a hit for him. So that's two hits. You got Chandler Parsons and you got Montrezl Harrell. So things are looking up here. All right, let's move on to 2008. He took Marte Lunin from Oregon. That didn't work out. And in 2007, his first year, Brad Newley. That didn't work out. So he can boast two players, Harrell and Chandler Parsons, with maybe a quarter to Isaiah Cannon. Two and a quarter for Maury in the second, the deeper second, the late first round, second round.
Yeah, and like Dylan Brooks has played in the league a little bit. And he didn't do anything for Houston. You know,
what did they get for Dylan Brooks? They must have traded him. So you got to factor that in, I guess. And he took Dylan Brooks, and let's see who they got for Dylan Brooks, because he's obviously a wheeler dealer. Let's see. He was drafted. He was traded by the Rockets for a 2018 second round pick, which was turned into DeAnthony Melton.
Okay, so they didn't
get anything.
Nothing
from him. All right, take a break. 610-632-0975. We are on the radio. Tell your friends and neighbors. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's 2:46, Mike Missinelli Show. The Phillies lost game one, and unfortunately for them, their pitching is a disaster. I don't know what this means, but Velasquez was supposed to pitch, right? The Phillies are pitching left-hander Christopher Sanchez in the second game. He's a minor league pitcher. He's had a couple of innings here with the Phillies. He's a starter down in AAA, where in his ERA was like five, almost five. So he's pitching against Corbin in game two. They're in danger of losing a doubleheader at home.
Good news is Corbin stinks this year.
Yeah, this year he has stunk. But, you know, they're sending this kid out. Go get him, kid. We need a stopper. And this is the... Dude, it's a tall order, man, for the kid.
It's like every three games they're having a bullpen game. You can't string together wins when every three games you got a starter who's going to go two or three innings.
Yeah. Did they just call? Was he? No, he was a relief pitcher.
Yeah.
They call him up?
So he had gotten called up. I think he got called up last week, then sent back down.
Yeah.
So he's been up recently.
Okay. Yeah. I don't even have his minor league numbers here and what he was doing. But it's your second game. This team just annoys me. I don't know what it is. They just annoy me.
I mean,
we got a poll out there. They annoy people too. Like, what is it about this team that annoys you so much? I can't put my finger on it either.
I'll tell you what.
Like, I can be honest with you. Let me go down the lineup. JT Realmuto. I usually go hands off because he's a catcher, and I go, listen, you get production from your catcher, anything else, I go, but he annoys me. I don't know why. He's annoyed me a couple times this year, not catching 14 innings in a doubleheader, little things like that. Now, it's probably not his fault, but he's starting to annoy me. Alec Boehm annoys me to no end. I don't know what happened, but to the kid, he looked like a promising player. Now all he does is throw helmets and bats when he strikes out. And his approach is terrible.
Yeah, can't field. Doesn't pull the ball.
He annoys me. Gregorius annoys me.
Other guy can't field.
Yeah, he annoys me. He's not the same player. He's like going through the motions at this point. Segura always annoyed me, but he's like the only solid offensive performer they have right now.
Yeah, probably your best player.
Now, today, Brad Miller goes in game one. So, man, Hoskins annoys me. because they can't play. They can't play Hoskins two games, and they don't want him to face Scherzer. He's a freaking home run hitter. You don't have him in the lineup. He shouldn't stand for that. He should go. Hey, Skip, listen, I want Scherzer.
Right. Like, dude, you're one of the better offensive
performers.
So that
annoys me. You know, Adubel has always annoyed me. It makes me sick that he's out there. McCutcheon, he can't annoy me because he's of an age where, you know, whatever you get out of him, you're getting a bonus. And, they've gotten some home runs and RBIs out of him, although he hits like 230. And then Bryce doesn't annoy me, but he's not having the power year that I thought he would have. So there you go. I just went around the diamond.
Listen.
Alec Bohm especially annoys me.
Yeah, there's something about, and I loved him last year. There's something about him where it's the fielding on top of the, he's a big dude, and all he does is he's like trying to flick stuff the opposite
singles.
Way.
He craft singles. Like
he shouldn't, at that size, dude, swing the bat.
That's what I've been saying from the jump. The only stuff I said about the Phillies that people harangue me for, I go, Alec Bohm should be a power hitter. He should have more of a power stroke. And people laud, you know, the announcers, and they laud the fact that he's got a good approach. He lets the ball get deep. Let the ball get deep. He's a 6'5" guy with leverage. Let the ball get deep. There's one thing hitting the ball out of the park to right center. There's another thing hitting singles to right center. Get your arms away from your body. Get some leverage going. Pull the ball, the inside pitch. You see where all these pitchers pitch them. Maybe they try to tighten them up. Let's go to Charlie in Allentown. Charlie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Charlie.
Mikey Miss, how we doing?
What's up, first Charlie? How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. So, we listen to you sometimes on the food truck, and I just had to chime in on this Calzone Strum.
Oh, awesome. You got a food truck out there in Allentown?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. And you're selling calzones and strombolis?
We are not. We are not selling calzones and strombolis. The sticky pig, so that's not really our
food. Okay. You got a little barbecue going.
A little barbecue, but I do have some previous experience in that genre of food. So a calzone. Now, traditionally, a calzone is kind of like, you know, like the little English, like the little ham pie, little meat pie.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be smaller. So you got the cured meat, you got the ricotta, no sauce.
Yeah.
The sauce comes from, you know, the combination of the ricotta melted down, the juice from the meat.
Right.
That's where you get your sauce in the calzone.
Okay.
Now, stromboli is literally like a half pie, a whole piece of pie dough.
Rolled.
And that's where you get, that's
you
where
roll
you
get it.
In there. Yeah. There. You roll it.
Yeah.
You roll and you twist.
Yes.
Like you twist the edges. You're not.
Yeah.
Calzone, you know,
yeah. I'm not a big stromboli man. If I'm going to go stromboli, I go pizza. But the calzone, we used to have the homemade calzone, and the calzone, the homemade, never had sauce in it. But it was sausage, it was eggs, it was cheese, it was, you know, whatever.
Yes. I guess we got to talk a little sports.
Let's talk a little sports. What's on your mind today with the Sixers draft?
Well, I definitely don't want to talk about the Phillies. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not ready for Eagles yet. So draft tonight. You think we're making a package deal or?
I don't think Ben Simmons goes tonight. No.
You think we you got Tyler on today? Is that what that is?
No, we have Connor today. Tyron's still vacation.
Oh, sorry, Connor. I mean, I like the idea of kicking the can with the picks. I mean,
kicking the what can? Pack it, take it.
Give away a second this year for two next year, or even a first this year for two next year.
Yeah, all right, but no, it's not going to be a Simmons deal.
Not tonight.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, the point of this draft, for me to watch this draft, I got to be a sickie. I really do. It doesn't interest me whatsoever. The Sixers aren't in play at all for this draft tonight.
No.
Unless a miracle happens and the Simmons deal happens. So you're hooked in to having to watch it for that reason. But I know I'm going to be taken down. I'm like a fish who is following a hook, and I found out it's not a real worm.
I didn't even know what that meant.
It just came to my head. Yeah.
What about that? What did we get? The 56th pick for $2 million?
Yeah, $2 million.
Is that what it was?
53rd? Yeah, 53rd pick.
I mean,
$2 million.
Okay. I mean,
what are you going to give 53?
It's Robert.
Well, you're going to select your brother-in-law with 53. Come on.
That's just Ruben's drinking money on a Thursday.
All right, I got you. 53. Good Lord.
Yeah, you get Isaiah Joe's cousin, Isaiah John.
I'm going to go over to second round and see who's in there. And it might be appealing for the Sixers in the 3 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. An unusually slow day on the phones for, you see, this TV thing. I got to tell people that they only think now. I've talked to so many people. Now, we're on TV. It's good. Listen, don't get me wrong. It's good and it's bad. And what's bad about it is people don't even think we're on radio. Like, they can't wait to watch us on TV. Oh, so I watch you every day on the TV. Blah, blah, blah. Dude, okay, yeah, but like, you know, when you're driving around.
Yeah, flip us on.
All right.
Come on.
610-632-0975 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. This is just mind-boggling here with this team. I mean, it can be crazy. Anyway, at 3 o'clock hour, the Mike Missinelli Show is brought to you by Corkley's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie, hoagie, party cheese. Everybody's good. All right, so they start Christopher Sanchez. I've seen him. I'm watching him throw, and I'm going, this kid's scared to death. And so he loads the bases and just gave up a bases clearing double, which turned into a triple because Luke Williams, was that Luke Williams out there?
Yeah.
Misplayed the ball in center field. They scored 3 runs. Girardi hooks him. Girardi takes the kid out already.
See you, bud.
No, listen, Girardi's probably pissed that the kid didn't deliver, but it's his own damn fault. He's the one that threw him out there. Now what are you going to do? You going to build this game with your bullpen from the first inning?
Yeah, I think it looks like Connor Brogdon.
Another out. Come on, man. Yeah. All right. 610-632-0975. This is a joke. It really is. Game one, their best home running hitter doesn't play in the game. I know it's Scherzer. Come on. And who are you putting at first base there? Keith Hernandez in place of Hoskins? He played Brad Miller. I don't understand some of the moves this guy makes. Let's go to phones. Joe in Levittown. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Oh, hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Joe?
Oh, going insane with this Phillies team. They're terrible.
It's unbelievable after some of the crap I'm seeing with this team. And there are people out there going, they're still in the race. I would have buried this team with front loaders.
I think it starts in the minor league system. I don't think they've ever had a player come up through the system that has an approach at the plate. Every player that's ever come through the system just up there swinging willy-nilly. They have no idea what they're doing.
They have no talent in their minor leagues. Forget about the swing part of it. They don't have guys that have any pedigree.
And that as well. It drives me nuts hearing people say that they're going to get Chris Bryant and Craig Kimbrell, and now they want Scherzer. What are they giving up to get any of that?
They don't have anything to give up. That's the point. It's a disaster. That's why I said, what did I say a month ago? Sell. A month ago, I'm saying it. I wasn't confident. I think they're still in the damn race. You need to replenish this team.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. The other thing I wanted to let you know, the difference between a Stromboli and a calzone. It's not the shape. It's nothing. The calzone is a white pizza. It's cheese and ricotta. And the Stromboli is a regular folded pizza, sauce and cheese.
They're folded differently. The Stromboli is rolled. The calzone is just a flat turnover.
I don't know. Apparently,
yeah,
but
that's what it is. That's okay.
And I think a lot of people. I used to own a pizzeria. A lot of people think ham comes standard in a calzone. They would order with no ham. I don't know.
Yeah, I got you. All right, brother.
That's just my idea. All right, okay. You have a great day.
Oh, you got it, Joe. I'm more interested in the calzone and Stromboli than this freaking baseball team.
You should be. Another one.
Another home run?
Nope, off the wall. off the top of the fence.
Who did they bring in now?
Connor Brogdon just throwing
Connor
him down
Brogdon
the middle.
In the first inning? This is a disaster.
They're going to be out of pitchers by the second inning.
And it's going to be further embarrassment because they're going to bring in a damn position player to pitch. And it's going to embarrass this whole franchise with this nonsense. Come on, man.
Well, they haven't had to throw a position player since last series.
Why are people as angry as I am about this? I look at this team. Like, why can't I get a baseball job with the Phillies? Why can't I look at this team, I go, fundamentally logically, they do the opposite of what's fundamentally logical. Like, I just don't understand it. It's so elemental to me on how you should proceed with this team. And they're, well, who are they conning? They can't even con their own damn fan base. We're running a poll today. What's the poll say?
Poll 79% saying that they don't like the
79% of people don't like the team anyway. So what are you hanging on for? To try to sneak into a playoff situation with this crap team? Come on, man. Josh and Manionk, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Mike, blow it up. You know, today was D-Day. You're 3.5 out, but 2 games. Obviously, lose the first one, and this is embarrassing. Just listening on hold, just listening to you. It's embarrassing. I don't know what you're already thinking. You play your best players. He doesn't have Hoskins in the lineup. He's tied for fifth with most home runs. What are you kidding? Like, Bamboo Brad's going to do something?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's the way he handles doubleheaders, you might think he's sending these guys into a steel mill with a cauldron of steel poured on themselves. It's ridiculous. It's a damn baseball game. Play 14 innings.
That's absolutely awful. Hey, real quick, you got to be excited, okay? Look for my guy, Jerome. The guy from Villanova, Earl, tonight, going to the second round. The Sixers never picked Villanova, guys, and they're dominating. We're not giving Villanova Jay Wright enough.
They're dominating.
Yeah. They're playing great. You got DiVincenzo, who won a championship. Bridges, you know, Jalen Brunson. Yeah,
they're nice players. They're not dominant players.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. We can give you some homegrown love here. Bring in my guy, Jeremiah Earl.
Yeah, Robinson Earl can't shoot a lick, man. He can't shoot it. He's shooting size for a guy that can't shoot it. None of the guys that they actually produce. I love him. Seth Bridges, he can fire a little bit, and DiVincenzo can fire. But most of the time, the forwards are guys that can't shoot it.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good piece. I also like the guy Joe Wiskamp, okay, from Iowa.
Soft.
And let's take Luka. Luka Garza with the 53rd.
Oh
pick.
God, stop! Would you stop, Josh? You are killing me with these slow dudes. That guy stinks.
Mike, we're not a fast team anyway. You know,
you can't bring slow guys into an NBA.
Josh,
get out of here. This Villanova nonsense.
Luka Garza. Like, the NBA is not the Big Ten.
Luka Garza has lead feet. All right? There's nothing you can do with him in the NBA. Okay? You can't. Now, a lot of people think, well, he can be a stretch four. He can shoot. He has to get out to the line, first of all. He's got lead feet. Secondly, Wieskamp. Now, listen, he's a Big Ten white boy three-point shooter. He's got a little game, but it doesn't project to the next level.
Yeah, the Sixers need athletic guys that can play.
We'll see what they do.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the mock draft. For people that are interested, I can't believe that, I'm outraged about this Philly team, and nobody else is. Have they given up? Have you folks given up? This Philly thing, like being outraged, they're perpetrating nonsense in front of their fan base.
Yeah, it's a decade of it. No playoffs.
Mock draft tonight. Kay Cunningham. The word is he's already been told he's the number one pick in the draft to the Pistons. Right? Where did they make a trade?
Nah, they said that was the number
Pistons.
One. Yep.
Okay. The Rockets are going to take Jalen Green, who is in the G League, shooting guard. 6'5", nice player. Evan Mobley's going to go to the Cavs third. He's a 7-foot guy, which means they might trade the other guy they got from the Nets. Jalen Suggs, who was my favorite player in the draft. 6'4", point guard, nice, smart, from Gonzaga. He's going to go to the Raptors. So the Raptors then may make a couple of their players loose, those guards. So maybe the Sixers can stay with that deal. You get Simmons and you can grab... a couple of guards, Van Vliet, and you can grab Kyle and somebody else. So maybe that deal is not dead if they take Suggs. Scotty Barnes, Florida State, goes to the Magic. It's a good provincial pick for them. James Bouknight, the guard from UConn, goes to the Thunder. The Warriors take Jonathan Kuminga from the G League. Franz Wagner, who I never thought would go into the top 10, the Michigan kid, is going to go to the top 10, apparently. And then the kid from Turkey, another Turkish guy in there, Furkan's buddy probably, Sengun. Alperin Sengun. The Grizzlies, they're going to take a kid from Australia, Josh Giddey, guard. Hornets, Kai Jones from Texas. See, this is where I go, look at the draft. Look at the names in this draft, all right? And they're getting more and more diluted. Now, they may be five players in this draft that you go, okay, we're good with them. Everybody else is just, like, you're telling me Franz Wagner comes in the NBA? And is an impact player right away? None of these kids are going to be impact players. Now, Corey Kispert has the chops to be an NBA player, but I don't know if he has the speed to be an NBA player. I don't know if he can guard anybody playing the three position in this league. The Warriors, Davion Mitchell from Baylor. I like him. Point guard, a little tiny. Chris Duarte from Oregon. Keon Johnson from Tennessee. He's a good shooter, that kid. Trey Murphy from Virginia. Zaire Williams, Stanford. Isaiah Jackson, Kentucky. He was the center. He underachieved a little bit. Cameron Thomas, LSU, to the Hawks at 20. The Knicks, Bones Highland from VCU. You ever heard of Bones Highland?
I have not.
This is what I mean. These are like throwing darts. The Lakers are going to take a try. A kid from Spain, apparently. Usman Garuba, who plays for Real Madrid, forward. The Rockets, Jalen Johnson from Duke, the underachiever who left the squad. The Rockets, again, from the Bucks. They got two. Dayron Sharp, the center from North Carolina. The Clippers, Miles McBride, point guard, West Virginia. This is a terrible draft. The Nuggets, Joshua Primo, shooting guard from Alabama. The Nets, Quentin Grimes, one pick before the Sixers, who are projected to take JT Thor, a power forward from Auburn. Good size on the kid. 6'9", power forward. And there you go.
Yeah, but they could be picking at like 15 and you don't know what you're getting.
All right, so now, in the second round, folks, in the second round, because this is where we're looking for value. What picks do they have?
50. They've got 28, 50, and 53.
50 and 53, okay. So let's see what we got here. Second round. Ayo Dosunmu, the kid from Illinois, the guard. He came out 1 year early. The Knicks, Sharif Cooper, Auburn. The Magic, Josh Christopher, Arizona State. The Thunder, Jared Butler, the point guard from Baylor. The Pels, Joel Ajayi, guard from Gonzaga. Not a bad player. I like him.
Gonzaga's got some good ones.
Yeah. Isaiah Todd from the G League. Jeremiah Robinson Earl projected to go to the Pistons at 37, where he'll join his former teammate, Sadiq Bey.
There you go.
The Bulls, Jason Preston, Ohio U. Kings, Kessler Edwards, Pepperdine. Grizzlies, Rokas Jokubaitis from Zalgiris. The team's Zalgiris overseas. The Spurs, they go with the guy kid plays for Paris Basket. Juhan Begarin. Pistons, BJ Boston, Kentucky. Pelicans, Joe Wieskamp, the shooting guard from Iowa. Nets, Charles Bassey, Western Kentucky. Celtics, Austin Reeves, guard, Oklahoma. We're getting to the Sixers, folks. Hang in there with me. Raptors, Aaron Wiggins from Maryland. And they get another pick, Herbert Jones, Alabama. The Hawks take kid from Louisville, David Johnson. The Nets, A.J. Lawson, South Carolina. The Sixers project to select, and let's pick 50, Aaron Henry, shooting guard from Michigan State. Don't know much about them, gotta be honest. Pels, Pistons, 53rd pick. The Sixers projected to take Jericho Sims, the Texas center. So is any of that float your boat there, Connor?
None of that moves the needle for
me. None of that moves the needle for you?
Not remotely.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Bree, South Philly. What's up, Bree?
Mike, you got me dying, man. I'm in traffic, and this is the first time I don't mind being in traffic. I'm cracking up at you. Like, you're going on a crazy rant about Philly sports.
I'm stunned. This is nonsense now. There is nothing to look for. I was talking to somebody who was going to the bathroom in the hallway. I go, there's nothing that is going to make me feel good right now about Philly sports. There's nothing.
The guy asked about Luke Garza, and he was like, yo, he sucks. Like, this is bad.
He's a lead foot. I watched him all year. In the Big Ten, yeah, he can play in the Big Ten. Now you got to project that kid to be a four in the NBA? Come on.
Like, I can't even give my son tickets to go see the Phillies. They're so bad, man. So it's hard. You can't even give them away right now. I mean, who wants to see it?
Yeah, but there are other people that say, well, they're only 3.5 out. They're only 4 out, whatever it is. And they're hanging in there for this false hope to make the playoffs. And I look at this team, and they make me crazy.
Yeah, man. But I appreciate the laugh, man. You got me laughing, man. I appreciate it. Keep it up, bro.
All right, man. You got it. I don't know. Like this. Listen, all year long, this manager has protected these players all year long with this nonsense, sitting him out of game one of a doubleheader, sitting him out of a nightcap of a doubleheader, not catching a guy for 14 innings. And I'm going, it is almost August. You're not going to put Hoskins in the lineup in game one? For what reason? For what? What is your reason? That Scherzer's going to eat him up? And that Brad Miller is a better option? I hate these over... He goes by this stupid manager manual instead of going, you know what? I got to play these guys. I got to grind. If I grind them up, I grind them up. It's nut cutting time right now.
Yeah, you need these games. You're playing a team that's in the middle of actively selling off everybody but their best player. They literally said everybody but Soto's available. And you're going to lose 3 out of 4 to them?
By the way, why would Washington want to trade Trey Turner? What would there be a reason for that would be? Well, you got a shortstop like Trey Turner. Why would you want to trade him? He's still young.
Apparently, they can't get an extension done. He's not interested in the extension.
He's not
right
interested
now.
In an extension?
That's what it sounds like.
Well, I guess he doesn't want to play. If you don't want them, I guess they don't want you.
Yeah. He's a nice player, though. You'd want
I'd
to
like
build
him
that
a
guy.
Lot, man. All right. 610-632-0975. I want to play a little game with you here. I was watching, I am hooked on the movie Moneyball. Tyrone hates it for reasons that are unclear to me. The movie, it's not the analytics part of Moneyball I like. It's well done. It's just well written. It's got some drama. It's got some inside information on how baseball teams proceed. All that kind of stuff. Now, I understand that the whole aura of the Oakland A's was overblown with the analytics that only won, because they did have a great pitching staff and some very good players on the team, even though they lost Giambi and Damon and Isringhausen. But the movie is really well done, and it is absolutely a top 5. I was watching it again last night, and it's now a top 3 for me.
Sports?
Now, am I crazy?
Are you going top 3 baseball?
Sports movies.
Yeah, you know,
I have... Sports movies in general. Now, let me give you the criteria for this, because I'm going to give you some... You tell me what you think is in the top 5, all right? All right, now, I'm not putting Caddyshack in there, because that's not really a sports movie. Rocky is not really a sports movie either. Rocky's a story of humanity, and so is Raging Bull. So okay. I didn't put them as sports movies. I'm going to... Pure sports movie, all right? So let's go... Because this is my number 1 of all time, and people know it. I just think it's beautifully done. The drama, the music, the whole bit. Number 1 for me has always and will always be The Natural.
Natural's a good film.
All right. Is that a top 5 for you?
It's in the bottom half of the top 5, but that's up there.
No, it is the top 5. Yeah. You'll say yes or no. Top 5?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Hobbs is in the top 5.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's go with Bull Durham.
No.
It's not in the top 5.
Not in the top
5. For you.
Five.
Okay.
Nope.
Major League.
I'm going to go yes.
Yeah, a top 5, Major League.
Yeah.
Okay. Moneyball.
Yes as well.
You go Moneyball,
love
yes?
Moneyball.
You
I'm
do,
high
huh?
on Moneyball.
Okay. All right. We're kind of in the same, I don't know. I put Bull Durham ahead of Major League. But Hoosiers.
No.
Not in your top 5.
Not in the top 5.
How is that possible?
You know
How is
what?
That possible?
I think that's an age thing for me. I think Hoosiers is a little bit like, It's a great story. But for me, I don't know. I never had the draw of Hoosiers.
Really?
Yeah. I like you. I like the story, but the quality of the movie didn't hold
Friday
up.
Friday Night Lights.
No.
It's not in your top five.
No, it's not.
All right. Well, we'll save it. We'll save now for a couple because I got a lot more here, and I want people to participate in this. So I'm going to go, okay, do you believe X movie is in your top five sports movies? It's interesting how people think about these. To me, it's a list that's easy to come up with a top five based on the substance of the movie.
Okay.
Not silly ass. See, Bull Durham is silly ass, but has substance in reality. Major League is just silly ass.
Right. But I think in the top five, to have the diversity of the top five, you need one that's kind of silly.
Yeah, you don't have to have diversity in the top five.
A good movie is a
good movie, whatever sport is.
Yeah, but I want the comedy silly. Like, that's why Major League's in there.
So if you bring something to the table today, you got to bring something to the table, either on the Sixers. This team is making me nuts right in front of my eyes. The Phillies, the Eagles, or the Flyers. You bring something here. I'm going to throw a movie your way, sports movie, right? You tell me if it makes your top five list. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 3:30 on the Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock, 3:30. Paul numbers are brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. I'm going to tell you about Fan Fest in a couple seconds, but the poll is about your fighting Phillies. Connor Thomas with it today.
Thanks, Mike. Again, our poll: do you find this Phillies team likable? We already have over 1,100 responses, and it's holding pretty steady. 80% saying no. Just 20% saying yes.
I would love to hear the people tell me in chapter and verse, why is it that they're unlikable? Because I don't like them. But I can't, like, articulate reasons why I don't. I guess I could if I'm pressed. But I just have a general bad feeling about them.
Yeah, and the talent-wise.
I have a bad feeling with the manager, too. Like, for instance, let me just get this out. Game one. Now, Scherzer's already going to be tough enough, right? Do you make it easier on him or tougher when you surround Bryce Harper with Brad Miller in the two hole and Andrew McCutchen in the four hole? Does that make it easier or harder? It makes me. Why would you throw a strike to Harper in that situation?
There's no reason.
There's none. Before and after, he's got Brad Miller. Now, if you've got Hoskins, at least, if Scherzer's afraid to throw a strike to Hoskins, he might slip up. Hoskins hits it out of the park. And people say, well, Miller shoots some home runs. So, yeah, I get it. You don't play. You play your best at this stage of the season. These guys have to suck it up, and you got to keep them in a lineup and play your best lineup.
Yeah, and Hoskins has had like three off days since the All-Star break already. Like, dude, just I don't get it, Mike. I don't understand it either.
And I tell you what, the general manager let him down because he was supposed to provide a pitcher for them for today. Instead, they had to go to the minor league, dip into the minor league, Christopher Sanchez, who lasted five batters in the first inning. That's ridiculous. Let's go back to the phones. Glenn in Parkway. Glenn, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Glenn.
Hey, before I get to my Sixers point, Mike, I didn't hear, I may not have heard it. Do you consider Rounders a sports movie?
No.
Ah, best poker
good,
movie.
Very
ever.
Good movie. I like it.
Okay, so no, how about Remember the Titans?
Absolutely.
Good. That's on my top five.
All right, so Remember the Titans in your top five.
Give me
your Ben Simmons point, then I'm going to give you a couple movies that you tell me are either in or out of your top five.
Great. I don't think anything happens to Ben tonight. I think everything happens after this trade, after the draft, around preseason time, when you know what you have to deal with from the other teams, what they do in the draft, what they're doing, what their season is going to look like. So the Sixers and Maury are waiting for that to figure out, okay, what can we do with Ben and what's the best bang for our buck based on how the rest of the league looks now going into the season.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to put together a deal that's good enough here.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So nothing big tonight, unless there's some block.
No, I agree. I'm going to try not to watch this draft because it's a waste of my time. What do I care? Okay. Really, what do I care that all these other players they are taking? Like, there's four players in the whole draft.
It was pretty deep, Mike. Maybe I'm wrong.
You think it's deep?
I've heard it was deep. I honestly don't
know. Yeah, I'm looking at it. I got past it. All right, I'm going to go. All right, Kate Cunningham, we know. Good player. Jalen Green, mm-hmm. good player. Mm-hmm. Evan Mobley, good player. We saw him. Jalen Suggs, I love him. Scotty Barnes.
Yeah,
what?
For me.
You
he
like him?
For me.
You like
he
him?
Nothing for me.
Okay, all right. That's what I'm saying. That's the fifth best, highest rated guy. James Bouknight. I watched him a lot this year for UConn.
The question is, there's no one that can make an impact right away.
Well, that's what I mean.
After five is what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
All right, so here's my question. Did we believe at 21 last time that Maxey would make an impact?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, because
right,
Maxey had some moxie and played in a high-profile program and was an accomplished player in that high-profile program. So, yeah, I thought that was a good pick. The only thing that bogged him down was his size.
Fair enough. All right, give me a movie.
All right, so it is the movie Hoop Dreams in your top five.
Absolutely.
That's a top five, Hoop Dreams?
Hoop Dreams, it was a great story.
Okay. So that's in the top five. Okay, gotcha. All right, I'm trying to take a consensus here. So Hoop Dreams, he says, is top five. He said that Remember the Titans was top five. Was Remember the Titans in your top five?
Remember the Titans is number one overall for me.
Is it really?
That's
all right. Now I would agree. It's in my top five. That's number one for you, huh?
Yep, number one.
Okay.
Easily.
Interesting. I wouldn't go as high as number one, but it's a definite top five for me.
Something about that movie. I love it. I once watched that movie like four times back to back to back to back growing up as a kid. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a very solid. So I would agree it's a top five for me. Keith in West Philly, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Keith.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Keith?
I'm part of the younger generation. I'm a 95 baby. For me, I was going to say Remember the Titans because I didn't hear it yet. But Remember the Titans doesn't necessarily have to be number one. Little Giant was good for me. I used to watch that movie all the time.
You're not telling me Little Giants in the top five.
Come on, man.
All right.
For my sports movies, because I like the message. And then on top of that, when he threw him the toilet paper roll, growing up, I always wanted to be a receiver in the NFL. Come on, man.
You can't be cursing. You got to go. You got to go. You can't do that. Let's go to Tyler, King of Prussia. Tyler, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
What's going on, Tyler?
Not too much. Just you were saying that you wanted, a little bit of bright future for any of the Philly teams, and we're not going to get it with the Phillies, and I don't think we're going to get it with the Sixers either. But I think the one spot this off season that we can at least look forward to is the Flyers.
I knew I could count on you. Amazing. The Flyers. You're optimistic.
If we're cutting our losses, I think the Flyers got the best shot. With the whole Ben Simmons thing is just, it could go either way. We're not really gonna. We're not really gonna know.
Bless your Flyer fans' little hearts. You always see see the most optimistic of all.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Well, I think the biggest part is getting those veteran defenders in there and maybe possibly seeing Carter Hart at his full potential again when he's not having to face 40 shots a night.
Well, I hope you're right. They don't look like a big scoring team to me.
Yeah, you know, they could use one more goal scorer, I think. Maybe another guy on that power play unit might do it. But, I think they'll at least be a lot more competitive than last year. And, hopefully it goes a little bit better than last season. But, and then my other point was for sports movies, I'm also part of the younger generation. I'm a 92 baby. And I got to say that one of the movies I can watch over and over is The Sandlot.
The Sandlot.
Sandlot.
Is that a sports movie, Connor? Sandlot.
All
people love Sandlot.
Yeah, it's a sports movie.
Okay, all right. You go to Sandlot as top five. Okay.
I think so.
All right, now let me give you a movie. You tell me if it's in your top five.
Okay.
Any Given Sunday.
Ooh. Not in my top five, but a very good movie.
Okay, not in your top five. I got you. All right, Tyler. You got it, buddy. Is in your top five?
It is not. It's a good film. That'd be top 10, but not top five.
Okay. By the way, in the 4 o'clock hour, I'm going to give away five pair of Sixer tickets. I'm not Sixer tickets. I'm Fan Fest tickets, not Sixers. Fan Fest tickets. You know that Fan Fest is coming your way Saturday, September 18th, and you need a ticket to get in. So occasionally we have these ticket giveaways, and I've created one in the 4 o'clock hour, but you're going to have to answer a question about the Sixers draft. Okay. So when the tickets run out, so in other words, it's the first five people that have the correct answer will get the tickets.
Sounds great.
No, that sounds great.
It's all a great right. opportunity for people.
Yes. You have to have a ticket to get in. It is a free event, but you have to get a ticket because we need to curtail the numbers. And it's presented by FanDuel Sportsbook and Live Casino and Hotel in Philadelphia, the official hotel partner, and the host of the after party, which should blow the doors down, of 97.5 The Fanatics Fan Fest. We'll have a 30-foot rock wall. We'll have Bikini Beach. We'll have a dunk tank. We don't know who's going to be in. We'll have a lot of special guests. You can also register for a trip with Anthony and Chunas to Denver, Colorado to see the Birds play November 14th. That's courtesy of Philly Sports Trips. All right, so we're going to take a break. We'll come back. It is the Mike Messinelli Show. Phillies are going on. We'll continue to update you. It's 6-0 in the, is it the second inning?
It is the bottom of the second.
Bottom of the second inning. They are down 6-0 in danger of losing a doubleheader to this rotten-ass Nationals team depleted by COVID. Mike Messinelli Show back after this. Quick.
The Mike Messinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:45, Mike Messinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. So today in the game, it's 6-0. These are just little things. Now, I am no fan of this guy, but Joe Girardi executed a double switch already in the second inning by bringing in Odubel Herrera, center field, and double switch for Luke Williams. Now, if that's a possibility, why would you just not start Herrera? Right?
Yeah.
He didn't start him because it's a left-hander pitching for the Nationals. But then he brings him in the second inning. Like, where's the rhyme or reason what the guy thinks about?
There's none. There's absolutely none. Who makes the double switch in the second inning? It's bad enough that you have to go to the pen in the second inning, or the first inning, rather, and the second inning again. because you can't find anyone who could get this team.
I assume he didn't play Herrera because it's lefty-lefty, and yet he brings him in and he's lefty-lefty in the second inning. So what's the difference?
The only possible explanation is the Luke Williams error in center field on that one and the triple in the first inning.
He didn't like it. Are they going to punish a guy like Luke Williams? Of all people, of all the slugs that defensively have had a terrible mindset this year, you're going to punish that kid?
Yeah, Williams makes one mistake and he's gone.
He also struck out.
Bohm can kick the ball around at third all day and he's there.
Oh my God. This is ridiculous. Okay, a couple things here. One is the bird situation. People are all after me to give an update every day on my birds in my hanging plant. Now, yesterday, as I told you, the update was when I came home, two birds were sitting in the nest. Two little hatchlings are in the nest. So today, I walk outside and I look into the nest and there they are. They're just eyeballing me, just looking at me, little birds, little beaks, they're eyeballing me. And I go, hey, fellas, what's up today? Heads gone. They flew away.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know if that was the first flight. I don't know if because my face was there at their nest, they got scared enough to try it, and they flew to an upstairs hanging tree.
Okay, so they didn't go far.
They flew far enough. They went way up into this big tree in my front of my house.
See, I feel like that's a lot for a first flight.
They went vertical.
Yeah, that seems
both
like
both of them
might be a second or third flight.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, why would they come back? They haven't come back to the nest.
Well, mom.
Why would once you fly out of there? Why would you come back to the nest?
I don't know where else they're going. They're still young, so I don't know where else they're going to stay. Like, are they good out on their own?
Where are they going to stay?
Yeah, are they good out on their
own? The mom can coach them and follow the mom in flight.
Yeah, but you said the mom moved out already.
The mom, no, the mom, I told you the mom made a little, another nest next to in the tree next to my porch.
Yeah, and she's saying, I need my space. They'll come bugging me about where to live. So maybe they're not ready.
It was a second flight and not a first flight. I'm thinking that maybe it's possible that it was their first flight, that they gave it a shot. And they learned, the instincts told them, boom, that's what you do.
There's a chance.
Yep.
If so, man, that's a big, a big part of this, these birds' young lives right here.
I am a big part of it. I feel, I want to see them go, okay? I want to try to restore my plant, first of all, but I want to see them go and live a happy life. Like, I'm not going to break down like Tony Soprano when the ducks left.
Well, he didn't think he was either. And then the ducks took off and it affected him in ways he wasn't prepared for.
Some abandonment thing in him. Yeah. But I think I'm all right when it comes.
Have you named them yet? Have you thought about giving them names?
No, I haven't named them at all. I just, I didn't even think about it. I can't tell one from the other anyway.
Okay.
They're the same color.
Still name identical twins.
Yeah.
So, hey.
I don't know. There is one egg in there that didn't hatch. There were actually four eggs. So two of them did not hatch. But I only saw one of them left in the nest.
Gotcha. So I guess... Just never.
I don't know what happens there. Mom throw out the egg and she knows it's not fertile.
Just didn't hatch and just got rid of it, I guess.
No, I hatched my own eggs when I was in the eighth grade.
Really?
Yeah.
Did a little incubator and everything?
Yeah, I made the incubator.
What was it, ducklings?
No, it was chicks.
Okay.
I got the chicks at a farm, fertile eggs at a farm in Percocet.
Oh, okay.
And made an incubator with a light bulb. This is my biology experiment. The light bulb was sticking through the wood. And it had a glass top and a bowl of water for humidity. You had to have a certain humidity. And I hatched the two of the eggs.
Oh, there you go.
Two chicks. Okay, it was interesting to see them bust out, too. It was cool.
It's a fun little life experience.
It was good. But then it broke my heart because one egg did not hatch. And we assumed it was not fertile or stillborn. And so we cracked open the egg and a chick lurched out.
Oh,
premature and died.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, that was tough. That was traumatic. That was almost like a Soprano Ducks thing.
Right. Okay. Man, that's tough.
Yeah. All right, so in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to give away tickets to FanFest. So, 5 pair. And you have to answer a question that I have fashioned about the Sixers drafting over the years. So, the first 5, when they're gone, they're gone. So, hopefully you'll be able to bag a pair, but you have to bring something to the table sports wise before I get to that. So whatever's on your mind right now, whether it's the Phillies, because they're on my mind, I'm just apoplectic here, or your Eagles are playing now. We'll have Tim McManus on at 4:30 for his weekday report on training camp. And, of course, tonight's the big NBA draft, and we'll see what the Sixers do, but I don't think there's going to be a deal for Ben Simmons. And also, a moral dilemma that involves taking something from the grocery store. I'll explain this later. This happened to be in a conversation that I had with someone who had a certain view on what you're owed at a grocery store. That's coming up.
Okay.
610-622-0975. The Mike Mussinelli Show. It continues right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. No television today because there's other programming not nearly as entertaining on that TV station than this would be. So we're back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is 4 o'clock, Mike Mussinelli Show, 4 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online, landisbc.com. We'll hear from Tim McManus at 4:30. The Eagles news today, they signed the safety cornerback Obi Emelefuanwu, who was the second-round pick a few years ago by the Raiders. So they got a little depth there. All-purpose guy, safety cornerback. We'll see what Tim has to say about today. He said they weren't really sharp yesterday with the quarterback and Devontae Smith, the top pick. So we'll see if that improves today.
Yeah, he was not impressed when he about the depth too, the youth.
Yes,
not great.
All right, so here's the deal. Starting right now, you call the show. You got something to say at the end of the conversation. I will ask you a question about the Sixers drafts over the years, and I will give you hints so you make it easy for you to get the question correctly. If you get it correctly, you win a pair of tickets to FanFest. It's really that simple. I'm going to give away five pair right now for FanFest, and that is, of course, coming up on September 18th, a Saturday, at Xfinity Live. Here's how you get in, 610-622-0975. Now, the other thing we're doing is, whether it's a top five sports movie of all time. I completed my list of top five.
I have mine as well.
You do have yours. Okay. So, and we're trying to take a consensus. So far, the consensus is that Hoop Dreams, Remember the Titans, would definitely be in a top five. So I'm going to give you a sports movie. You go, yeah, that's a top five. Or no, it's not a top five. So my top five is The Natural, Hoosiers, Moneyball, Remember the Titans, and an upset. Miracle, number five. You're not liking Miracle?
I love Miracle.
I didn't think you'd have
five movies. Miracle's
me.
In for me, too.
Is it really?
Absolutely.
All right, so you go with what? What's your, you go Remember the Titans.
Yep. Moneyball.
Okay. Moneyball 2, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Miracle 3.
Miracle 3.
Then The Natural.
Natural.
Then Major League.
And Major League.
That's my top five.
Okay.
Right,
Major League is the top five, huh?
I like Major League. I'm partial to Major League.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Prince in the Northeast. Prince, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Prince?
Hello?
Hello, Prince. You're on, buddy.
Hey, I just had a question about Ben Simmons, you know, because I've been listening to you guys for the past, you know, week now and all, and I just want to know, like, your opinion and why nobody likes him and why everybody wants him to get him out now. Because last year it was like, oh, Ben Simmons is good point guard. Everybody wants him. Is it because they got Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal free agency, or
Was it just because it's playoff run?
No, neither of those guys are free agency.
I mean, or signing.
Well, I got to ask you something. What did you see? What did you see with Ben Simmons? Aren't you exhausted?
And man, I think he's still a good player. I still think he could stay here, but that playoff run wasn't it. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, after what you saw, bro, seriously, I mean, that was the exhaustion point for a lot of people, including me. Yeah. After what you saw, how could you justify bringing him back and hoping that something different will happen?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Tell me. Create a scenario for me. What's going to happen if he comes back? Do you actually think that he could be a different player in one off season?
I think he could. You know, with the city of Philadelphia, you know, everybody been saying hard on him. He might, you know,
He didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter in four straight games. What do you mean hard on him?
Hey, I don't know.
How could you not be hard on him? He's supposed to be a star caliber player. You couldn't have him on the floor offensively in a playoff series. Come on, brother.
You're killing me, Prince. Hey, I just think that he could come back, stronger than before.
Why? We've been waiting for it for three straight years, and he's going to come back with this newfound and whatever.
Yeah, damn, I didn't know.
Come on, man. You believe in the tooth fairy, right?
Huh?
You believe in the tooth fairy?
No.
All right. Well, you believe in Ben. It's kind of the same thing. Come on, Prince. You're killing me. All right, Prince. You a Sixer fan?
Yeah.
All right. This is the deal now. If you answer this question correctly, you can get two tickets to FanFest.
Okay.
All right. Now, this is about the Sixers draft. In the year 1998, the Sixers passed up on Paul Pierce to take this player, a guard, at number 8, the 8th selection in the draft. They bypassed Paul Pierce. They took this guy. Who was it?
Man, I'm being honest with you. I wasn't born until like 2002, so I don't know too much.
Oh, man, okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's a shame because you know that was in the kind of Allen Iverson era, so I thought you would know it. Prince is a bit young and thinking Ben Simmons is going to come back. That's what explains it. 2002, he's 20 years old.
I don't know how if you're 10 years old, that you 19 don't years know old. Ben Simmons Prince. Is. Like, come on.
Yeah, he was. He's not jaded enough. Okay, so you know the answer to that question? You probably before your time, too. You probably don't know it either.
That's a little bit before me.
You don't know the answer.
It's only 1998. Give me one more time. 98?
They didn't take Paul Pierce. They took this guy, Larry Brown.
I should know
took this dude. Larry Brown said he promised him he would take him.
Oh, my God.
St. Louis. He was from St. Louis.
It's not going to come.
Larry Hughes. Man, Connor, you are young, man.
Yeah.
You're a young dude. That's 1998. Yeah. When were you born?
I was 94, so I was 4 years old.
Yeah, but still, you should.
I should know
you
that.
You got to be 10. You should know your team history.
Right. I'm not good with the drafts, dude. I don't know what it is. The draft knowledge doesn't click with
me. I'm going to have to hand these on a silver platter to people. These are FanFest tickets are at stake here. You have to usually go through hoops to get them. I'm gifting you with FanFest tickets. Boom. One answer. You got the tickets. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. Maurice in Overbrook. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Maurice.
Hey, what's up, Mikey?
What's going on, Maurice?
Hey, listen, man. You're supposed to leave the Larry Hughes on the board. I would have got that easy, man.
It's a shame. You didn't get in early enough.
I know, man. I'm like, that jumped off the page at me because I remembered, like, no, take Paul Pierce. Southside movie, I think, is not included a lot in people's discussion is Kingpin.
Yeah, that's not really a sports movie, though, is it? That's a goof movie.
It's as much a sports movie, I guess, as he has.
Yeah, I guess. The bowling thing. Yeah, all right. So that's certainly not in my top 10. Is that in your top 10? Or top 5?
Well, it's clearly the best bowling movie of all time, but I prefer it as some other ones. And I would have He Got Game in my top 5.
Yeah, He Got Game is a good movie. It'd probably be in my top 10, but I couldn't put it in my top 5. But there is a sleeper basketball movie I'm going to give you.
Okay.
All right. Give me your Phillies point first. And then I'll give you the movie, and then I want you to participate in this draft question.
All right. So I went to the game on Monday with my 6-year-old daughter, and they did the stupid wave. I think that's like the dumbest thing in sports. But to my 6-year-old, she loved it. And both times on Monday when we did the wave, the Sixers hit. I mean, the Phillies hit 3-run home runs. So
listen, man, if you're with a 6-year-old, you probably have to do the wave. If you're an adult doing the wave, I got to have a conference with you.
All right, so it's not a violation.
When you're a 6-year-old, it kind of dictates the situation there because you don't want to be a grump and not do the wave that the kid's doing the wave. But if you're an adult doing the wave, I got to have a talk. I got to talk with you. All right, man. The movie, the sleeper movie, is this. Blue Chips.
Oh, that is a sleeper.
Is that a top five for you?
It's not. It's close. It is a sleeper, but I don't know if I would even take that over, you know, some other movies.
Okay, all right. Blue Chip, not a top five. Would it be a top 10, maybe?
Yeah, definitely top 10.
Okay, all right. Here's your Sixers draft question. Now, you sound like you know the history of this team, right?
Yeah, as long as you don't go back too far.
I'm only going in 1997. That's a year before Larry Hughes.
Okay.
All right. In 1997, the Sixers took this player, and 2 days later, they traded him, and they traded him to the Nets. In the deal, the Sixers got Tim Thomas from Villanova. Who was the guy they selected, number one?
Is he a guard?
He is not a guard. He is a bigger player, and he went to Utah.
Oh, God. Shoot.
You should get this, bro.
97.
I will give you the trade. They drafted him. They traded him to the Nets for Jim Jackson, Eric Montrose, Anthony Parker, and Tim Thomas.
I feel like this should be a layup.
It should be a layup.
To the Nets?
Oh, bro, you're killing me. Yeah, you got to go. I'm sorry. The player was Keith Van Horn from Utah.
Not many great guys come out of Utah for school. You got to remember that.
He's a good college player.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had some decent years in the NBA. I think that was Sean Bradley that's got into the accident.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Justin in North Philly. Justin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Justin.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Justin?
I'm going good. Hey, man, did you just do two layers, man? Hey, listen, I was born in 68, Mike, so I don't want to cheat, but that was two layups for me, and I'm a basketball player.
Yeah, I know. They were. These are layups for some people that are out there listening.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Oh, yeah, I'm with you on the Ben. I'm overexhausted. When he did that, I was a supporter for a while. But when he did that pump fake underneath the rim, we needed that too. That was it for me. And then when they did the Hacker Ben, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm from North Philly, man. I played ball all my life. High school, you know. I've never seen nobody play basketball like that.
It was absolutely cowardly. That's why he can no longer come back. Now,
Mike, it was the worst play I've ever seen. And I've never seen nobody do that. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's why it's got to end. It's got to end. And I know that maybe somewhere down the road he can get unlocked and become a great player. Maybe, but it can't happen here anymore.
Maybe. But one other thing about this guy that I want to say. Basketball is about pride. And you know this. You play a little ball. When you have a flaw in your game like that, when you reach that level, man, it's about pride. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with you.
And you can't make a foul shot.
Well, and here's what else is about pride, which after those guys in that locker room witnessed all this nonsense with him, not shooting in the fourth quarter, somebody had to have enough pride to go, dude,
man,
enough.
Mike, I couldn't have been on that team. We would have been physically fighting, man.
I hear you.
Because I know how much it takes. I want to win, man. I want to win.
I hear you.
That is,
there was a couple guys that had the clout to do that. Maybe not Embiid, but Danny Green had the clout to do that.
Yeah.
And Danny Green, you know what Danny Green did? He blamed the fans for being too hard on him.
Everybody
put your arms around them, man. Man, get out of here. Put your arms around your kids and take them to school their first day. Get out of here.
All right, man, you ready for your question?
Yes, sir.
All right, here it is. Now, if you get it right, you're coming to FanFest. In the year 2000, their first-round pick was number 20 overall. Larry Brown made the selection against the wishes of Billy King. They took a little guard from Hofstra. Who was it? 2000. Took a little guard from Hofstra, under 6 foot guard.
Speedy Crack.
That's correct. Hold on a second. Hold on, Justin. That's right. Speedy Claxton was the first round pick. Speedy wound up playing 334 games in the NBA.
It's great for a player his size.
I don't know how long he lasted with the Sixers, though. I mean, he played 1 year with the Sixers. He got in 67 games. He averaged 7.2 points, and then he was gone. They traded him. All right, let's go. All right, so we got our first tickets giveaway. We got four pair left. Scrap and Darby. Scrap, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, Mike, what's up, brother?
What's going on, Scrap?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I can't complain at all, man.
Good for you. I'm complaining. I'm watching this Phillies game right now. I'm complaining.
Man, hopefully these Sixers, man, don't let me down in this draft. I really don't know too many of these young prospects coming out. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully they make some good decisions, man.
They're not going to get a player that's going to be an impact player next year. So,
man, check this out. I just want Ben off my team. I don't care what they do.
And this is, you're making my point, Scott, because I've been trying to tell people, right? Because everybody has the same reaction as you. I just want him off my team. So even if he improves in the offseason and he comes back and he does something that makes you improve, he's going to regress. And once he regresses, guess what? The attitudes like the Scraps of the world come out and go, man. And it's going to be dreadful.
Nah, I'm good on him, man. Yeah, I mean, he had all these other seasons and all this other time to do all that, man. I'm good on him. Yeah, I mean, he bought us up a nice little crib out L.A.
A nice little crib, too, isn't it? 17.6 mil. How you feel about that?
He probably ain't got no court in that joint. Yeah, I mean, to work on this game.
He's got a nice pool, though. He has some L.A. pool parties.
Yeah, man. I want him out of here. Hopefully, you know what I mean?
You can have Kendall over again.
Oh, yeah, man. But, yeah, I mean, back to this top five.
Yeah.
My top five right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got Major League, right?
Yeah.
I got the program.
Program's pretty good. But program probably be top 10 for me.
Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
And this is my sleeper, man. I ain't hear nobody say this. And this is it's a classic. And I don't even watch this sport. It's a hockey movie.
Slapshot?
No.
Miracle.
No.
What?
Youngblood.
Oh, stop it. With Rob Lowe?
Man,
killing me, Scrap.
Man, that is a
That's
classic.
Garbage.
Man, rest in peace, Patrick Swayze in that joint. Come on, man. That joint is a classic.
That's garbage, that movie.
Come on, Mike.
That's cold garbage.
Man, that is a classic. For that time, you know what I mean? Like, that is a banger.
Yeah, come on. All right, listen, man, I'm going to give you a question anyway after you gave me the young blood. All right, the draft. In 2001, the Sixers took a center who played in the Big East with their first-round pick, 26th overall, a shot-blocking center who played with him for a long period of time. Who was it? 2001, Big East center shot blocker.
2001.
That's correct. He played 8 seasons with the Sixers. Premier shot blocker. Oh, man, you are killing me. You're out.
Trying to give him as much time as I can.
Sammy Dallenbear.
I had that one.
No, you had that one?
I did have that one.
Oh, yeah, Sammy. Number one pick. Played a lot of years. Let's see, what kind of numbers did he have average for the Sixers? He didn't score a lot. He was a bad scorer. 7.7 points for the Sixers. 8.1 for the Sixers. But blocks, 1.9 a game.
Oof, averaging almost
about
two.
That.
Yeah, that's great.
For Sammy Day. Never learn how to play.
Protector.
Never learn how to play. It's amazing. He just jumped and blocked shots. Never learned how to play.
Yeah. But you had Mutombo for a bit. You had him. Like, he had some good rim protectors there.
Yeah. None of them could play. None of them had hands to play to score the ball.
Right.
Let's go to Jamal Northeast. Jamal, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? I just want to say you need to stop giving out these Jason Kidd alley-oops to these callers. I just want to start off my call by saying that. And I want to ask you a question real quick. Do you know the other Hall of Famer that Larry Brown passed on other than Paul Pierce?
Who was it?
Dirk Nowitzki.
Nowitzki, yeah. But a lot of teams passed on him, though.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk to you about possible trade possibilities. I never hear this guy's name. He's my personal favorite, Zach LaVine. I just wanted to get your opinion.
Yeah, I would like to acquire Zach LaVine, but if that's the best deal they can make, I certainly would take it. I'm really hung up on Dame Lillard at this point. But if they can fashion a deal that brings you him, that would work for me as well.
But this is the thing. Both teams, Portland and us, are asking for like the same thing. So how are you going to make that trade happen? Because Portland
is where Dame comes in. See, Dane's got to harden it. Dane's got to go, listen, I want to go to one squad, just like Harden did, right? I don't go to Nets. I want to go to Nets.
Well, see, that's not Dame's style.
Well, guess what? Somebody's got to get to Dame like Joel Embiid, and my man's got to get out there and talk some sense into him.
I just think he's the perfect fit, and you slide Maxey at the point. I know people don't think he's ready to take the point. I think he does, so I think it would be a perfect fit.
It's LaVine you're talking about. Well, who would you rather have, Dame or LaVine?
Well, I'd rather have Dame.
All right, well, then let's focus on that. See, you're diverting the energy, Jamal, the other way. You got to have a focused energy on Dame. You got to send him brain waves.
Listen, I don't care. Like the other caller said before, as long as we get Ben out of here, I've been asking it for 3 years.
Yeah, I got you. So. All right, are you ready for your question?
Yeah, now you're going to give me a hard one.
No, I'm not going to give you a hard one. In 2007, the Sixers' number one pick came from the ACC. He was taken number 12. He's a forward who played a lot of years with the Sixers. A left-handed forward from the ACC was selected with the 12th pick in the draft. He played 1 year at this college in the ACC. See, you were telling yourself,
yeah,
layups.
A left-handed shooter.
Left-handed. Played 7 seasons for the Sixers and averaged 14 points a game.
John Salmons?
No, Salmons, not left-handed. Salmons played for Florida, didn't he? He didn't play in ACC.
Not sure. But I believe that would be one... Thaddeus Young?
That's Thad Young is correct. See, my man, he jumped the gun.
He did. He was talking a big game and everything.
We still have 4 pair of tickets left. We got one guy that got a question correct. It's embarrassing. Mike Missinelli Show continues after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, it's 4:30 on the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Philly's creeping back into the game with a couple home runs. It's 7-3, and it's still early in the game, so you never know. Anyway, it's time to get an update on our Twitter poll before we talk to Tim McManus about Eagles training camp. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moore and Sons with Connor Thomas. Connor.
Thanks, Mike. So we saw a couple home runs, and actually the Twitter poll, which is, do you find this Phillies team likable? 1% the other direction. Only 79% are saying no. 21% are actually saying yes now. That's up 1%. And over 1,300 votes on that.
Okay. You know, if they come back and win this game, there will be that fault. You know what it's like? It's like getting a Rita's water ice. Yeah, it puts it off for a while because it's refreshing. And then the next day, you go,
Yeah, it didn't do it. Yeah. It's a short-term refreshment.
Exactly. All right, so the Eagles in day two of some competition, and we're really focused on a couple things. The one, the connection to Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith, who talked to our next guest, Timmy McManus, yesterday. He was a little shaky. And then I'm really curious as to how this coach, who is very optimistic and enthusiastic, how that projects as we go through this training camp. So to find out these answers and a lot more, the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com on the Comcast Business Hotline, Tim McManus. Timmy!
Mike, much better day on offense.
Awesome. All right, tell me about it.
Well, yesterday they were working in red zone, which shortens the field, and there wasn't a whole lot of room to operate with, and the connection, as you suggested, between Hurts and Devontae Smith and the rest of the wide receivers was not really there. But day two brought more promise and more efficiency out of the offense. The highlight, without a doubt, was during 7-on-7s when Jalen Hurts sent out a bomb. I mean, it was at 50-ish yards in the air on a rope to Devontae Smith, who had burned past two defenders, Steven Nelson and Kayvon Wallace, and it just dropped right in the bucket for a really long, you know, must have been, you know, 80-yard touchdown.
Oh, so my!
A big moment that got the fans as rowdy, and fans are back at NovaCare this summer, as rowdy as we have seen them in the 2 days. So that by far the highlight, but Hurts beyond that, I thought looked just better overall. He had a really nice crosser to Hightower. He found Ortega Whiteside down the seam for a long, 25-yarder. And so Hurts looking better and more efficient for sure in day two.
Ooh, okay, so let me ask you about Hurts. And, you know, the bomb is nice, and that's a wow play. The word on him is the arm strength to get through these kind of windows here. Do you see any kind of an increase of arm strength? Can you measure that at all?
The arm strength doesn't stand out to me in a negative way. I think he's got plenty of it.
Okay.
I think where he struggles so far, or needs improvement at least, is kind of like in the short intermediate game where he's just standing in the pocket and quick firing. Sometimes the ball is coming out a little too slow. Sometimes it's not coming out as accurate as it needs to be. And this all needs to kind of be cushioned with the fact that this is a brand new system. It's only day two of training camp. They didn't get to do 7-on-7 or 11-on-11s during OTAs this spring because of the restrictions that they put in place. So this is all new, and maybe it comes, but that definitely jumps out as well. You know, there are better plays today. He needs to get just a little bit more accurate and a little quicker in his throws when it comes to just kind of the boom boom plays.
All right, how did what's the Zach Ertz watch looking like here? Does he look like he wants to play with this team or not? Can you not tell?
He looks fine. I mean, he's a professional, but I think that the public spin is different than the behind the scenes thing that's going on right now. And you could see before Howie Roseman talked yesterday, he had a long talk with Ertz on the field. Mm-hmm. Must have lasted, 5-10 minutes. And then he came in, and what he said when he was at the podium was, I expect Ertz to be here on, for game one and how important that is. But it doesn't have the feel like it's settled. And I know that it's being projected that way, but I don't think it is, Mike.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
It feels to me like, that there's more rumbling going on back there, and that and I would still put the odds, I think, on him not being on the roster week one as opposed to on it.
All right. What rookies are flashing other than Smith today? What did you see with newcomers?
Yeah, I would say, Kenny Gainwell has been pretty good so far and active in terms of his participation with the first team. So we've seen him paired up with Miles Sanders in two back sets with the first team. And Sanders talked today and was asked about Gainwell, and he talked about how much he liked his game, particularly that he has these natural hands and is able to run and find the lanes well, even as a rookie, and said that he's going to, quote unquote, be a big part of this offense. So I thought, that caught my ear, that they plan on using Gainwell, at least by those words and what we've seen so far, pretty consistently. So let's see how that develops over the course of the summer. I think that Teron Jackson, the defensive end, a later round pick, is having a nice camp. The defensive line
looks good, generally speaking. And I would say that Jackson and the one-on-one drills that we saw today, now no pads yet, so this is all, it's hard to judge linemen in this setting. We get it. But Jackson, I think, has a chance to come on here as well.
All right, back to Gainwell. Does it look like he catches the ball a little better than Miles Sanders naturally?
I think that's probably fair. You know, Sanders had a great rookie year catching the ball, but last year fell off pretty dramatically and didn't do it hardly at all at Penn State. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I mean, I think that Sanders is still going to be your every down back for the most part, or the guy who's going to be the front of the rotation is probably the right way to put that. But these other guys bring different skill sets. I mean, whether it's Gainwell in the passing game, or with Kerryon Johnson, who's really most known, at least right now, for his pass protection. Like, there's different spots, I think, different roles that these guys can play.
All right, now let's talk about the head coach. And the important part is not what he says, but how he's proceeding to coach this team and whether he's engendering any kind of confidence from players in the methods that he uses. Well, what are you seeing?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that it just, it was a, it's a professionally run practice from what we've seen. Different, and especially when you look at the length of these practices, Mike, that's one thing that stands out. Like, it was, yesterday's practice was only an hour and 15 minutes, and today was only an hour and a half. And if you look up the turnpike, you know, Joe Judge has the Giants doing 2 hours and 45 minute sessions. Mm-hmm. So that's starkly different. But, you know, purposeful in that hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half. And one thing that you're seeing is, even that they haven't thrown the pads on, Sirianni is conducting a pretty physical camp so far. He's allowing the players to bang around a little bit. And, you know, when we talked to Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator today, he said that he appreciates that because it's allowing the defense to work on things that are priorities for them, most notably trying to punch the ball out and create turnovers. And kind of let the guys who have stingers sting. You know, so the word on so far on Sirianni has been pretty positive. And, you know, he hasn't shied away from it. Kind of seems like he fits in there, and that's where we're at.
Interesting. So he's taking the tack where you're a little physical, but you do it quickly. And that, I guess the players appreciate the length of the practices are not 2 hours plus.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And everything is filled with action. Like, there's, it's rare. They have to get into special teams, of course. And that's sort of a downtime, you know, from a spectator standpoint. But otherwise, it's filled with action, whether that's the 7-on-7s or kind of high intensity drills, the 1-on-1s between the offensive linemen. I mean, it all definitely has a pace to it, and has meaning to it. And yeah, I would imagine that's sitting well with the players.
All right, last question. They acquired a cornerback safety guy who was a pretty high draft pick by the Raiders a couple years ago, and I remember it being an unusual pick, but it was still a high pick. What do you think about this Obi acquisition?
About the what? I'm sorry.
Obi Afuanu. Did they sign him, Connor? They signed Obi Afuanu.
Obi
Afuanu. Yeah, the Raiders selected him in what? Was it the second round, first round? 2017 second round pick of the Raiders.
Oh, gotcha. It must have just come through. But yeah, I mean, I feel like right now they're kind of building out the depth. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the top of it is pretty well cemented at this point. So we know Howie Roseman. We know how he likes to churn this roster and look for moves, not just during the traditional periods, but throughout. And I think, you know, that's something to expect, especially with a young roster here.
All right. We've been doing this thing today with sports movies and whether a sports movie would be in your top five. I know the world wants to know what Tim McManus's top five would be.
Top five sports movies?
Top five sports movies, but you have to leave out Rocky, you have to leave out Caddyshack, and you have to leave out Raging Bull.
Why do I have to leave those out?
Because they're more humanity than sports.
Okay.
why do you question that's awesome. Why do I have to leave those out, Mr. Trebek?
Well, you know, I need to know what the ground rules are.
Yeah, well, that's the ground rules. You can't use those three.
I'm a Hoosiers guy.
Okay.
I like The Natural.
Okay. So far, that's my one and two, but go ahead.
All right. Any Given Sunday.
That's all right, you got that in your top five, Any Given Sunday. Okay.
I'll go Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams. Okay.
And where's the last one I want to go with?
Remember the Titans?
Because I just watched this with my daughter, League of Their Own.
League of Their Own. Okay. That sounds good. Week last two, but it sounds good. All right, Timmy. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, brother. Sounds good.
There he is, Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. So he goes with Hoosiers Natural. It's my one, too. Any Given Sunday. A lot of people would put that in their top five. Field of Dreams.
Yeah, maybe the most overrated.
What sentimental horse crap. And League of Their Own? Oh, don't get me started on that.
Well, That falls under the Hanks rule.
I like Hanks in certain roles. He's such a cliche actor, though. You know?
I'm pro Hanks.
But he's like he's the cliche actor. Life but a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going. And then it's like, they're not crying in baseball, huh? You know, everything's got to be a cliche with the guy.
He's just a good actor. He's got popular lines. Jimmy Dugan's a great character.
Crap.
Ah.
6-1-0. Jimmy Dugan's a good character.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like that movie?
I wouldn't have it in the top five. The movie itself, not total, but that's one of the more iconic lines in any sports movie ever.
I don't want an iconic line. I want a good movie.
Well, that's why it's not in my top five.
Is it your top ten?
I don't even know if that one cracks the top ten. I'm not a big League of Their Own guy.
610-632-0975. It's a quick break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 4:45, Mike Missinelli Show. We still have, what did we give away? One pair?
Yeah.
We only gave away one pair. So we have four pair of FanFest tickets to give away for the rest of the show. First four in, and you answer a question correctly about the Sixers draft, and I'll give you hints to make it really easy for you. A little bit of news here coming forward. The Sixers, apparently there's another trade offer the Sixers have made that has been turned down by the team that they're making it to. Connor, the Sixers, apparently, according to Keith Pompey's report is that the Sixers offered Ben Simmons to the Golden State Warriors for what?
Andrew Wiggins.
Wiggins.
James Wiseman.
Wiseman.
Number 7 pick this year.
7.
Number 14 pick this year.
Number 14.
And two future first round
picks. Two future first round picks.
All for Ben Simmons.
Wow. Well, they must think that Golden State's really interested in him if they would make an offer like this. They turned it down, obviously. But see, I don't have a problem with them shooting high for this because then they can always go back to him and say, okay, the reason why they're making the offer in the first place is because Golden State had mutual interest. Right? So, right. You know, you're just not calling teams randomly. You call a team that has an interest. So, if Golden State's on board with the interest, then you go back to them in a week and you go, okay, we don't need the pick number 14 and just give me some one future first round. But we'll take two picks off the board here. Wiggins, Wiseman, and number 7. And then from there, you go, if they turn it down, you wait them out a little longer and you go, okay, we won't take the future pick at all. But throw 14 back on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, the draft's tonight, so they can't keep 7 and 14. So those go out the window later tonight. So it'll be interesting.
Unless they say, take a guy at 14 that
we like.
And
then we'll take him. Right. Yeah. They're asking a lot, so it makes me feel like if you have any doubts whether or not they think the Sixers, mm-hmm. could possibly be a cornerstone for a Dame trade.
Yeah.
Like, that should throw it out the window. He absolutely is.
All right, so now the Washington Nationals, apparently, are giving up. This is very strange, by the way. Max Scherzer, apparently, has been told that he's going to be traded to San Diego.
Why would they have let him pitch? Why would they have let him pitch today if they had a deal on board? That's insanity.
I don't know. I'm sure there's absolutely no way
if they had a deal that was imminent that they would let him pitch today. Unless they wanted to show the Padres that he's healthy. Or the Padres said, I need to see him pitch to see if he's healthy.
Yeah, a little live tryout.
And he passed it.
He certainly
passed
it.
That's really interesting.
Because he shut the Phillies down. But
yeah. All right, Reggie's calling from D.C. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, Mike, what's up? What's happening?
What's going on, Reggie?
The best thing you had on the show today was Tim McManus. Because like all the previous callers, I want Ben out of here. I don't know how they're going to do it. But just like everybody else said, I'm down here in Washington. When he didn't take that dunk, I was done. Anyway, hopefully the offensive line can come back, be better, be healthy, and it'll give Jalen Hurts a good shot.
The only problem is one of them hurt already. Brandon Brooks got hurt.
It's not season ending.
No, but listen, my point is, he's a nicked up player now. So the count on both he and Lane Johnson, frankly, that they're going to be 100% healthy is worrisome to me.
I mean, we can't get any. I need to hear something positive. And Tim McManus, I mean, that was a pretty good report. There was some positive stuff in here, but I'm really down right now about Philly sports. But anyway, let's get on to the movies. Mm-hmm. Nobody said, and let me preface this. I was born in 1965, mm-hmm. So I've been around for a while.
Okay.
One of my favorite, I don't know if you call this a sports movie, but what about Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds, The Prisoners versus the Guards?
Sports movie. Yeah, I give you The Longest Yard. You like The Longest Yard? Here's another one that's a sleeper, North Dallas. Remember North Dallas 40?
Yes, I remember that.
The first one, not the stupid one with Adam Sandler.
No, I remember.
I don't know, Adam Sandler was... Yeah, that's right. I got the movies mixed up.
Nick Nolte,
The Longest Yard was Adam Sandler. You're talking about the original Burt Reynolds one.
The original Burt Reynolds.
Yes, I would. I like that. 40.
Yeah, North Dallas 40 with Nick Nolte was pretty good.
Yeah, well, that was actually a very underrated movie.
Yes. And one other movie that I remember growing up was The Bad News Bears, the first one.
Yeah, I wasn't in on that. I wasn't a Bad News guy, but a lot of people love that movie.
It was. So you don't think that's a sports movie?
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't rank it. That's right there with The League of Their Own for me. That's silliness.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to, I'm listening. I've been listening all day.
Yeah. Now, are you able to come to FanFest?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you,
two hours away.
Okay. So we're asking Sixer draft questions.
Yes, I've been listening.
All right. So this guy was the number one pick in 2008, pick 16. He was a big man from Florida, and he had a funny way of spelling his first name. 2008, Florida, big man, played several years with the Sixers, and then had a couple decent years with other teams. He played 3 years with the Sixers as the number one draft pick. Not that long ago now.
Oh, I got it. I remember Maurice Spate.
That's correct. Hold on a second. Maurice spelled M-A-R-R-E-E-S-E Spates.
It's a good pull by him.
Stunk. He was Mutt Central. Come on, man. All right, so we got three left. We'll carry those over to the 5 o'clock hour. Your Phillies update, it's still 7-4. They are in danger of losing a doubleheader unless they rally offensively. Offensively? Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour, and we have three pair of tickets to FanFest to give away. All I do is answer a question on the Sixers draft history, which I'll make very easy for you. First three in, get the tickets. Meanwhile, the Phillies hanging in here, 7-4, top of the sixth inning, and they need a rally, or they're going to lose a doubleheader. And I wonder, with trading deadline coming up tomorrow, I wonder if the doubleheader influences them to sell. Or would they think they can still, if they buy, they can still be in it? Well, what do you think happens, Connor?
I mean, you're going to lose 3 of 4 if you lose this second game to a team that's in the middle of selling it's just dead. About everybody.
Yeah, they're dead.
So you're dead to a team that's already dead. I don't know. There's no way they can buy after that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You gotta move people.
I agree. 5 o'clock hour brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event where you're going to get 40% off all windows and doors. Just call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, let's go start the 5 o'clock hour with John in Newcastle, Delaware. What's up, John?
Hey, Mike, you know, I sent you that email the other day. Did you go out and get your owl for the crows?
I did not, but thank you for that email. I couldn't go to the owl store. There wasn't an owl store near me. So I tell you, I survived it, I think. I believe I survived the crows pillaging the nest because the two little birds today flew away out of the nest in front of my eyes.
Oh, man. That was good stuff keeping up with that. I look forward to that every day.
The hatchling report, a lot of people were invested in it.
You know, I'm sitting on the couch today. I'm off, and I'm watching this dreck on TV.
Yeah, it's amazing.
There's got to be 5,000 people in that place.
I'm looking at it too. It's a doubleheader, and nobody came to it.
And they can't. I know Dombrowski is a aggressive guy. They cannot buy. I don't even want them sending away anybody that has no talent. I don't want them buying. That would send such a bad message to the fans. I mean, don't buy. Please.
Well, selling would send a bad message too, because you're asking then your fan base to put up with nonsense for the rest of the year. But it's necessary. And most fans are not stupid. Most fans look at this team and go, they don't have what it takes. So if they're going to sell, like, you're not conning us by bringing in an extra relief pitcher or some fourth starter. We know what this team is. They're not good. So let's just move on.
And it's amazing how bad their farm system is. You know, I'm looking at the Padres. You look like they're about to get Scherzer. That team has been making nothing but huge trades for the last 3 years. What do they have? This unending pool of prospects?
Yeah, well, they draft well. I mean, they cultivate their minor league system. It's not that difficult. If you look, the Yankees just got Joey Gallo, right? Now, how'd they get him? They give away their prospects all the time, and they replenish them all the time.
I know. It's depressing, but real quick on the movies. Mm-hmm. I think your movie list is good. I like Miracles. I mean, I'm a Longest Yard guy with Burt Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Raging Bull's out, I guess, because you said that's more of But I got a classic for me and you, Mike. It's not a top five, but it's a top 10. How about that Varsity Blues?
I was just about ready to bring that up. I am a big fan of Varsity Blues. Now, it's stupid as hell, but I love it too, and I love Friday Night Lights. That both of them might be in my top 10. They're not cracking my top five. All right, man, you want to go to FanFest?
Absolutely.
All right, John, here we go. This is NBA Draft 2011. The Sixers took a center with their first pick, 16th overall, from USC. Who was it?
Oh, that's our friend. That's our friend who always puts up great numbers, but he's not really a great player. Nikola Vucevic.
That is correct. Hold on a second. Only two pair left. Nikola Vucevic.
Let's go pull by him. Little Vucevic.
Here you go.
In Orlando.
Vucevician. Let's get Eric in Florida in here. What's up, Eric? Eric,
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
First time caller, long time listener. I'm actually here on vacation. I'm from Philadelphia.
I've been
listening to you on the app, so
awesome.
Gotta, you know, pay attention to what's going on in training camp and everything. Thing I wanted to call you about was Ben Simmons. What do you think Weekend really gets from
him? I think you can get a very good deal for him. I think you can get a star player.
A star player, okay. I mean, I saw the trade that was for San Antonio, like 4 first-round picks.
Well, this was a Golden State pick. There was just a trade, apparently, that was reported that the Sixers offered to Golden State, which they asked for Wiggins, Wiseman, the 2 first-round picks they have this year, and 2 future first-round picks. That's what they asked for at the Golden State.
Okay.
And that was turned down by Golden State.
Okay. I don't think I want Wiseman or Wiggins.
If that's what you can get for Ben Simmons, if you can get pick number 7, number 14, 2 future first-round picks, and 2 starting players, it's not bad.
Not bad. Another question. Like, I'm a basketball fanatic. But Damon Lillard, is it the players he plays with, but does he make other players better? Like, will he make, like, is he just a true scorer and not a really a...
If he's just a true scorer, how would that work with Embiid? Pretty good, wouldn't it?
It would work, definitely.
It makes them a contender and maybe the favorite in the Eastern Conference.
But who will we get in the backcourt with him? Like,
You gotta get anybody. With him. You got to trade Ben and a couple other players to get him.
I'm just worried about what we would put around him, I guess.
How's your starting 5 look with him?
Great, but I'm trying to see who else would be there.
Don't even worry about that. You can figure that out later. My man. All right, are you ready for your general knowledge question?
I am definitely ready. I've been getting all these answers from Murray Space to Larry Hughes.
You've been getting all these answers, huh?
Yeah, all these answers. Maybe.
All right, here we go. Let's go with this one right here. In the year they selected Joel Embiid, they had another first-round pick. He was taken 10th overall. He was a guard, and he has a very unusual hair product.
That guy that can't shoot, that plays for the Knicks, Alfred Payton.
That's correct. hold on a second. Alfred Payton is correct. Only one pair left?
One pair.
One more. Alfred Payton was traded for, on draft night, whom?
Who the hell did they move him? I honestly forgot that they even drafted him.
Alfred Payton was selected and traded to the Orlando Magic for
the rights to somebody?
Uh-huh.
Euro?
Uh-huh.
That was supposed to never come over?
No, he was coming over.
Who? Okay, I've got my Euros mixed up.
You do. Very popular Euro. In fact, he just missed the NBA Finals because he got hurt. Dario!
Yeah, no, that's who I was talking about.
Dario Saric!
He was supposed to never come over. And then
always coming over. It was just a matter of how long it was going to take him to come over.
You threw me off when you said no. I was like, who else would it be besides Dario? Yeah.
Yeah, it was Dario. Yeah. All right, so I'll give you credit for it. All right, so there's one pair left.
I'll only take half.
I'm going to tell you, I got to make the last one difficult.
Okay.
There's only one pair left at FanFest.
Okay.
Nate in East Falls. Nate, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Morning.
Go ahead, Nate. What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, I wanted to talk about Ben Simmons. Is Mike in this?
This is Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, Mike.
What's up?
Yeah, I think when Ben Simmons gets traded, he's going to be a star. I hate to say it. But every year...
Well, you can't worry about that anymore, though. You can't worry that he's going to become a star because he's not one here, and the climate would never be such that he could be a star here anymore.
I totally agree. But, you know, even on the championship games in the finals, if we would have dangled an all-star game out in front of him, he would have been a star. He gets aggressive every year when he thinks it's an all-star game in front of him. So we just got to put that carrot out in front, and he's going to start balling.
Well, no, man. No, it's over.
Oh, I know it's over.
Yeah, it is over. So if he goes and becomes a star, I know that'll give fuel to the people that go, yo, trade away people to become stars elsewhere, even though nobody has become a star elsewhere.
Right, so I think Golden State's going to be a nice place for him because he's going to have people to kick the ball out to. He's going to be able to go and rebound like he did.
He can play free, but they just turned down that deal.
Well, look, I like the package that they offered. I mean, Wiseman would be a nice package.
You would take the package, wouldn't you?
I would definitely.
I agree.
I think Golden State was right to turn it down. I don't think he's worth all of that. So if they said yes,
Okay, then you don't get Ben. You don't. Steve Kerr doesn't get to invent this new shiny wheel. You know, you don't want him. Okay. Get back to us when you change your mind. Now, Golden State will call him and go, okay, listen, we'll make that deal, but we can't give you two future first-round picks. And the Sixers will go, all right, deal, done. So we got 7-14, and we got Wiseman and Wiggins, done.
I'll still take it.
All right.
Done deal. I'll wipe my hands and move on.
Okay. Now, are you ready for your question?
Yep, I'm going to FanFest.
If you get this question correct, you go to FanFest.
All right, shoot.
In the year 1996, the Sixers took Allen Iverson with the first-round pick out of Georgetown. They also took three second-round picks. All of them were Caucasians. give me two of them.
Yeah, all right, so you're really trying to trip me up. But let's go Ryan Miner and Jamie Beck.
I don't believe you got that. It's Jamie Fyke, but you got it.
Fyke. I just can't pronounce his name right.
Oh, man. Hold on a second. That's a major monster pull. In fact, I'm going to give away one more pair just because he got that, because I didn't expect you to get that.
That was good.
I'm
going to
ask the company for one more pair so people don't get discouraged. Now, let me tell you a little story about this. Because I had the interview with the general manager at the time, Brad Greenberg.
Okay.
I sat down with him for a magazine story. And he lived right down the street from Pat Croce. He rented a house on the same street because they hired Brad Greenberg as the general manager. So I go in there and I'm talking to him about his philosophy and stuff. I'm talking about Allen Iverson the whole bit. And I couldn't help myself because I was aware of the careers of all three of those guys. Mark Hendrickson, Ryan Miner, and Jamie Fyke. What I knew about Mark Hendrickson and Ryan Miner was that they were star baseball players at their universities. Mark Hendrickson was a left-handed pitcher, and he was 6'8". He was a power pitcher, 6'8" power pitcher. And Ryan Miner was a star third baseman with a little pop.
All right.
So I sat down, and Jamie Fyke was just a slow... So I sat down with him. I said, Brad, listen, man... I covered a lot of college basketball, and I gotta just tell you that I think you wasted your second round. This is the new general manager.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, what? And I said, you're not going to, and all three of these players can't play. And he said, why do you think that? And I go, well, I'm going to tell you that all three of them are too slow for the NBA. And Ryan Miner, you drafted as a shooting guard, right? He says, yeah. I go, Ryan Miner's going to be in your first workout and realize he's too slow to guard anybody. And the first thought that's going to pop into his head is, I can always play professional baseball. And basketball's going to be right out of his head. He goes, And I go, Hendricks is the same way. He's a slow forward he can pitch in the big leagues. And he's going to realize that his career in the NBA is going to be so short that his mind will go elsewhere and you won't have a player. And I said, Jamie Fyke just can't play. I never thought of it that way. I go, you never put in the equation that these guys are baseball players? He said, yeah, we knew they played baseball. We didn't, you know. I go, these dudes know it's easier for them to play baseball than play in the NBA. Ryan Miner can't guard you, I told
him. Oh, man.
And sure enough.
Roasting these guys.
Now, Hendrickson did last a little bit in the NBA, but he wound up being a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. Ryan Miner signed with the Orioles.
I mean, you nailed it.
And Jamie Fyke didn't make it. He played a little bit, but then he was out. Hendrickson played 114 games in the NBA. Jamie Fyke played 201. But But I think, I don't know if he played him for the Sixers.
You yeah, found,
they moved him right away. The Sixers, they cut him.
You found more baseball prospects on the Sixers than the Phillies can find in the MLB draft.
I said, listen, those guys might not make it in professional baseball. I said, but let's take Ryan Minor. Ryan Minor's got to guard NBA players now. He can't. He's going to be too slow to guard NBA players. So if I'm Ryan Minor, I finish the first practice and I get my rear end kicked by people who can really play, I go, yeah,
like, what am I doing?
Yeah, here? Baseball is going to be easier for me. And once that thought comes in their head, they're done.
Yeah.
And that's what I told the guy.
It's a great point by you. Look at you.
Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, what's new, MJ?
What's going on, Dave?
Yeah, Hendrickson was a pretty good pitcher. He had some decent.
Yeah, I'm forgetting. He was, he did. He lasted many years in Major League Baseball.
You know, the Padres also acquired our buddy, Mr. Hand.
Yeah, they got Mr. Hand, too.
Yes.
Son, man.
I'm sorry, Mike.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
This is what people don't realize. The Padres were the recipient of, by far, a couple years ago, the most television money of any other franchise. So, yeah, they got mad money to spend. Hey, I got a great underground baseball movie, The Slugger's Wife, starring Rebecca De Mornay, who used to date Kurt Russell before he married Goldie Hawn.
Let me tell you something.
Yes, sir.
You may have selected the worst sports movie of all time. The Slugger's Wife is absolutely atrocious with a capital A, baby. It's horrible. You do this to me all the time because you know how I'm going to react.
Hey, Mike, I'm visiting my buddies that I went to Duquesne with over this weekend. Our itinerary is two games at beautiful PNC Park, Phillies Pirates.
Oh wow! I can't. Can I be on that trip with that? What's that? The Sewer Bowl?
Yeah. Speaking of the Phillies, I guess as long as they're within a sniff of first place, we got to stay with them until they're mathematically eliminated. Mike, you're right. Dombrowski can't be in a selling posture right now.
It's a con. It's a big con. He can't possibly be thinking he can save this team.
I wish they could trade Girardi. Remember the Pirates got Chuck Tanner in a trade from Oakland, and Tanner went on to win a World Series with him. I wish we could trade Girardi.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to do that. All right, do you want to try a Sixers draft question?
I'll answer it right now. Brian Oliver, Georgia Tech. I love you guys.
He doesn't want to take a shot.
Come on, Dave.
Not that.
I think he was nervous. A little scared.
Yeah, you think he was?
I think so.
All right, Mark Henderson pitched 10 years in the big leagues.
It's a good career.
How about that? He was able to move from the NBA to Major League Baseball. God bless him.
Almost started game two for the Phillies.
Hardly all right. He was a mediocre pitcher. But he was big and like, you know, people thought they could get some little power out of him.
Yeah, you see the height. You're attracted to it.
All right, we still have a pair of tickets to give away here. Mark from Bear. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Mark?
So let me give you a little insight about what you were just talking about. So you said in 1996, the Sixers drafted Ryan Minor.
Yeah.
What's he most famous for?
I don't know. What did he do?
So when Cal Ripken ended his streak, Ryan Minor was the starter that game.
Oh, is that right? Ryan Minor was the starting shortstop on the first game?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep, you had just said that he had signed with the Baltimore
Orioles. Yeah, I know he was in their system. He was a third baseman. They played him at shortstop that day? Or?
I don't know if he was at shortstop or whether... I don't remember if Cal had moved over to third base.
He was in the lineup when Cal was benched for his first time.
Yep.
Wow. That's pretty good tribute by you.
Yeah, well,
At least he made it to the big leagues.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was actually on hold, and I actually had the answer to that question. And when a gentleman said Ryan Miner, I was like, oh, this is a great trivia question here.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. All right, man. That's good work by you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Do you want a question?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Here's the question for you. We have one pair left now. And this is about the Sixers draft. Okay. The Sixers drafted in 1994 with the sixth pick in the draft. Number one round, they took a center from Clemson. Who was he?
Yep. That was actually pretty easy for me because we were in our honeymoon in Bermuda watching the draft. And we couldn't believe that he was taken, but it was Sherron Wright.
That is correct, Almundo. Hold on a second, Mark. Sherron Wright was selected by the 76ers. Oh, God. Stiff City. Dude, six pick in the draft, Stiff.
Seems like a lot of these guys not working out well.
Let's look at the... Because the Iverson draft, obviously, they got Iverson.
Right.
The year before that, though, see, they had the third pick in the draft. They took Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah.
And everybody thought that was a great pick, and then Iverson comes and they couldn't play together.
Right.
So that was the end of that.
And they didn't learn.
But like in those years, look at this. In the years 1992... to 1998, they had top 10 draft picks. We started out with 1992. Clarence Weatherspoon was the ninth pick in the draft. The next year, they took Sean Bradley with the second pick in the draft. The year after that, Sherron Wright with the sixth pick in the draft. Year after that, Stackhouse with the third pick in the draft. Year after that, the number one pick in the draft, Allen Iverson. And the year after that, the number two pick in the draft. And then the year after that, Larry Hughes. And they still couldn't put anything together.
That's like pre-processed. So that was a
draft process
right. That
didn't work.
Nope. Nothing.
All right, 610-620-975. We still have room for your calls here as we head towards sound off on the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, the official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
The Chunk Kincaid Show.
You know what? I needed a break from the Philly. Like, it sucked that it was canceled because they still are in the middle of a race, and Zach Wheeler was to go last night, and we always look forward to that. But I, personally, I needed a break from the Phillies.
Anthony Gargano.
I woke up today thinking, is this the day that Ben Simmons is traded? I think it's a foregone conclusion. I hear people say, well, maybe you bring him back. They're not bringing him back. He doesn't want to come back.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
I'm dead with the Phillies. And I don't want to be dead. I really don't want to be dead. I want to be alive. There's something about this team that rubs me the wrong way. I don't know what it is. What is it about this team that I can't get on board with?
Listen all day, every day to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia. More of the Mike Missinelli Show. Now.
On 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, and I said that before they lost the doubleheader. Well, actually, they haven't lost the doubleheader yet. They've got the time run to the plate right now. 7-4 in the bottom of the seventh inning. So they're a miracle away. But I don't know. They had a pinch hit Vince Velasquez recently. But one of the things we didn't talk about was Bryce Harper was removed from the game earlier. So we don't have any update on why he was removed from the game.
No, but just said he looked like he tweaked something.
Yeah, that's not any good either. All right, it's time for the final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Just order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with Safe Contact. Let's pick up in Doylestown. Connor, Thomas, final numbers.
Thanks, Mike. Our final numbers on our poll. Do you find this Phillies team likable? Over 1,300 votes on this one. And final vote, no, with 79% running away with it. 21% of our responders said yes.
All right. 21% like them. I don't know what you're liking.
That's way too high. Way too high.
Anyway, the Lakers are active. Oh, these guys are out there digging information. The Lakers are trying to apparently acquire Russell Westbrook in a deal. So let's go with this one here. Russ goes to the Lakers for what? Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who else?
And Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell.
A first-round pick tonight.
First-round pick tonight. Yeah, I'd make that deal in a second if I was Washington.
Yeah.
You don't have any need for Russ anymore. But you're thinking that because of that, that's an indication that Washington would blow it down, and that would make Beal available for the Sixers. But I go to you, well, Beal's young enough to build around, though. So why would you trade Beal, too? Like, Westbrook's one thing, but Beal's in his 20s.
He is. The question is how they view him in Washington. Like, do they think he's another, just like, blow it up, take picks, and build around somebody else? Or do you, because the pairing, the Beal and Westbrook pairing was supposed to work for them.
Yeah, I'm going
to
say, if I'm the general manager,
get rid of it.
I don't, there's no need for me to get rid of Beal. There is a need to get rid of Westbrook, but not Beal.
Yeah, but if you could go
fashion a team with him.
Right, but if you could go Beal for Simmons and picks or something, like if you could steal picks from Philly.
Would they think that Simmons for Beal is a good deal? I don't think they would think that was a good deal. The Sixers would have to add on.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So Beal for Simmons, and then they'd steal picks. So you'd move on from Beal.
Forget picks, players.
Yeah.
Maxi Thybulle would have to go in that deal.
Well, there you go, and there's your rebuild. So you got a brand new core down there in Washington. They haven't won in forever, so.
Oh, all right.
Maybe. Could be attractive.
Let's go to Dylan and Ambler. Dylan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dylan? Dylan, you're on, buddy.
Thanks for having me on.
What's up, buddy?
Hey.
Hey, turn your radio off, please.
Gotcha. So pretty much, when it comes to this Sixers free agent Simmons thing, we're not going to get the Dames or the Beals of the world. It's just not going to happen. The same time, by that same token, if we go to a Warriors team, send Ben to the Warriors for a few picks. It's not conducive of the win now nature that this team is built around, because you don't know how many more years Joel is going to have. He's always dinged up.
You can't send him for picks. You have to send him for salary.
Yeah. So
yeah.
The team's built to win now, but the underwhelming nature of the history of what we've dealt with is that we're just not going to make the big splash. So.
You don't know. The big splash that was turned down was a big splash. But that doesn't mean that Golden State won't get back to the Sixers and say, hey, listen, we'll do the deal, but you got to take a couple things off the table.
Yeah. But who's going to ship their future off for Ben Simmons? The reason I bring up the Warriors is because his game is one that could work with.
The Warriors might do it. That's one team that might do it. I mean, they're getting Klay Thompson back, so they think they can make a run.
Yeah, and if we do that, it's going to be Maxi. Matisse is probably untouchable.
It probably will. I mean, it could be either of them. But that the deal that was turned down doesn't include any of them. It just is Ben straight. And then you add the salaries to get Ben, so you don't have to add anybody else in that deal. Now, would they sweeten the pot to get that same deal? If you threw in Maxi in that same deal, which is the number 7, number 14 pick this year, 2 future first-round picks, and 2 players, Wiggins and Wiseman. Would you throw in Maxey with Simmons?
I would if on the Sixers. I still don't think the Warriors do that deal.
Okay.
I don't know how Maxey fits on that team out there.
Would you throw in Thybulle then?
I can't move Ben and Thybulle. I can't do it. You're losing 2 all-NBA defenders.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the fabric of your team too much.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you this. So, let's say that you have an offer from Washington. Washington reaches out, and they're like, we know you want Beal.
Mm-hmm.
We want Ben. We'll take Ben, Maxi, a first for Beal. If you're Morey, do you wait and see what the market is on Lillard, or do you take that deal?
I take it.
No questions asked.
Yep.
Move it tonight.
Yep.
Okay.
Ty in Virginia. What's up, Ty?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing?
I just got a couple questions. It doesn't seem like this team is trying to actually make a legitimate trade. This trade seems more outlandish than the first trade that the Raptors declined.
Yeah, but it is outlandish. But why would they not make it outlandish? See, when you set a table, say, listen, we're looking for this. That doesn't mean that you'd rather go high than low. So if they turn down high, you can always whittle it.
I mean, I get that, but in a situation where the draft is tonight and you're expected to move Ben tonight, why would any team give away so much for Ben Simmons?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know, but if Golden State is interested, then the offer only extends if the other team's interested. And you just didn't throw an offer out in the blue. So the Golden State is interested in having that kid.
The Raptors wouldn't be? Wouldn't any team?
No, the Raptors would be too. It's just that the price comes in a little too high. You don't have to do it immediately. Now, what they can do is, okay, listen, these two teams are interested. You're interested in Ben. So if you're not going to give us the draft pick now, well, then tell me who you like. And like for Golden State, they take a guy they really like. But at 14, they go, who do you like at 14? They confer with the Sixers. The Sixers go, I like this guy. They go, okay, we'll take that guy. And then we'll... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but in your opinion, your honest opinion, what do you think you technically can get back for Ben Simmons?
I think you can get back a star player or a combination that makes you happy. I'm not one of these guys who goes, you can't get anything for Ben Simmons because of what he did in the playoffs. There's always a general manager that thinks he's smarter and can reach other players better than anybody else.
And that I agree with you on. I just don't think the market is there for so much of a splash for Ben Simmons. I think we're looking at bare minimum on a trade when it comes to him.
You might be right, but that doesn't mean the Sixers right now, when they make offers, have to believe that.
Yeah, but they're the ones that's making the offers.
Yeah, but there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time, bro. You know, like you don't come in low, you come in high.
I mean, I guess I see you on that point. I just think that the trade's like they're sipping the sauce a little early.
It's just strategy. It's like you're not going to go, all right, we'll give you this and this, and then they go, okay, all right. You wanted to think about it. You know, that's a little too much. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to talk to other teams. So, you know, if you're interested in them, you get back to us, and, you know, maybe we can talk again. That's what you do.
Yeah, of course. You never go with
Billy Bean did a money blow. He tricked them to get Rincon.
Right. Why would you go with a realistic offer when you don't have
to? Exactly. Ralph in Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ralph.
Hey, just a quick baseball point.
Yes,
sir. Everybody's talking about, you know, the lack of talent in the minor leagues, and I'm not so sure it's lack of talent. Going back to the Klintak and the Gaberg time, when they decided to go with the launch angles and everything, they gutted the minor league coaching staffs. When Kingerly and Hoskins all came up, they were hitters with average. They went with launch angles, and I remember the announcement when they turned around and got rid of their whole pitching coaches from AAA down to single A.
They got rid of the pitching coaches because they're doing this new thing with weighted balls. It's a new system. You're talking about the hitters' launch angles. Everybody in baseball does the launch angles.
Right, but what I'm saying is without coaching talent down there, you're not developing the talent.
Well, how do you know the coaches they got rid of were great, talented coaches?
Well, I used to follow the stats down there on a daily basis, and they're players, and look at them now.
Well, like who? Other than the Kingery. Who are we talking about?
Hoskins was a high average.
Hoskins, not really. He's a power hitter, so he has home runs.
But in the minor leagues, he was a 280 hitter.
Okay, well, but they're getting production out of him. But, I mean, they're okay.
Well, I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, you know, is... And actually,
I think the fact they haven't done a really good job of picking players. If their system is ranked as low as it is, they haven't done a good job bringing these.
My question was, you know, when you get back from the Dominican, are you willing to ride buses to get these guys on track?
I told you that I would sacrifice my life, 3 years of my life. I don't know what clearer I can make it. I would live off of, like I'd have one beanbag chair. In my flat, you know, like, come on.
This would be
the last thing I would ever do in my life. I'm going to make a count.
But that's what, and I'm being facetious, is that when you get back from the the Dominican and found all this talent. Are you ready to ride the buses as a coach to get them?
Yeah, I'm ready to ride the buses. Yeah.
That's all I wanted to know. Of course.
I'll take my car. Well, I mean, I don't know. I can get a car. I can follow the bus. What do I have to ride the bus for?
Yeah,
I'm
right?
just trying to scout people.
Just hook something
I'm
up to the
back. I'm part of the team.
Hook a trailer
Philly's
up to the
Philly's tied
back.
The game in the bottom. Of
Against all odds.
Seven.
We're tied up at seven.
This national team. They're just awful. Who got the hit there?
That was JT.
JT with a single brought in two. The bases loaded. After they made like two pitching changes, I think. So now they're tied. So they're going to salvage. Here we go. Tomorrow. Oh, see, Mike, they're not out of it. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Sound off on the other side.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You gotta be faking me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Keep going. Sound off.
All right, it's time for Sound Off, 610-771-9705. That's the Sound Off line. When you need to use it, I don't know, they probably used it earlier today. Now the Phillies have tied the game, so that's some ill-timed Sound Off calls. Let's see what we have today, Connor.
Hey, Mike, you're talking basketball movies with Connor today. I don't know if you caught this, but they're doing a new version of Hoop Dreams, and it's Ben Simmons willingly taking jump shots during games. No one's going to buy that script, but it's Hollywood. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, that's not a good premise. Not a good premise, Hoop Dreams. Haven't been above.
I read in the paper that the Philadelphia Phillies have less than 50% of their players and coaches that have had both vaccination shots. How can anybody who plays on a professional sports team be that stupid that they wouldn't protect their team, their teammates, and their record?
Yeah, well, if you listen to the show, you know I preach about that. You know I tweet about it. I'm incessantly tweeting about it. I think it's absolutely absurd. And Tony Dungy goes out and lauds Carson Wentz the day after Carson Wentz admits that it's a personal decision. Your sister's rear end's a personal decision.
Mike, for me, here's why this team is unlikable. Outside of Bryce Harper, they don't have anybody to me that plays hard. They don't have anybody with any kind of personality. Starting with the manager. Trade Reese Hoskins. Trade Aaron Nola. Get yourself three or four decent prospects and start to rebuild. That's the only way this team is going to get better, Mike.
That's what I've been talking about for the last 2 months. Sell, sell, sell. Nola be one guy, sell. Hoskins be another guy, sell. I'd sell McCutcheon. And I say, fans, I'm sorry, we got to replenish our system.
Get these baseball players vaccinated. That's my message. I'm through watching baseball. Get them thinking like adults and get vaccinated. They make millions of dollars. Let's do a job and do your job.
But it's
Thank
a personal
you.
Decision. Don't you know it's a personal decision? They're taking away your freedoms. Oh, my God. They're knocking at your door. They're forcing you the gun to your head to take shit. No, they're not. Okay? There's no government intervention in this, folks. It's just a private company putting out a vaccine, and the government's saying to keep people safe, get the injection.
Unbelievable Philadelphia sports talk radio. The only city in the world talking about the NFL all
year long. The Phillies are 3.5 games out of first place, rarely talked about on any Philadelphia sports radio. And here's your typical caller. Hey, this is Jeff calling from North Philly. Want to talk about the Eagles. Think they're going to have a great season. Maybe mess up in the draft a little bit. I'll hang up and listen. First time caller. Bye. Senseless. Not just football, guys.
Yeah, this is a very ill-timed call because this team, we've talked about it all day about this team. Are you kidding me? They're only 3.5 out. You're one of these dudes that looks at this team and it comes and goes, they're only 3.5 out? Stop it. They're annoying.
Maybe you guys should explain to me why the Philadelphia Eagles is even considering trading Zach Ertz. You got a young quarterback that needs a guy to keep get open. And I just don't see any reason for it. It makes no sense to me. And I keep him here. He's a good player.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be here. He's annoyed. He doesn't want to be here. You won't get the best production out of him. That's the bottom line. They won't give him a new contract. He doesn't want to be a sacrificial lamb on the last year of a contract. That's what it is. All right, close it down, bro.
That's the best of the best today of Soundar.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are the limits?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See that?
All right, that was sound off. I love that one sound off call. It's the old school guy with the...
I read in the papers that...
who says that anymore? They read... I read it in the papers. Who says that?
He's keeping the newspapers
alive,
man.
That's an old school guy who says, I read it in the papers.
Love that.
All right. That was the end of this program. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, for calling, participating. Coming up is Cuz's Corner. That's right. Cuz's Corner is next. Don't miss Cuz's Corner live from Parks Casino. Everybody be safe out there. Have a happy rest of the evening. And we'll wrap it up tomorrow with a little Football Friday. See you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.